me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
I was listening to the radio the other day, and I was asking what's the number to listen to Brett Rosen, and they told me 920 AM WGNU. It's not just regular radio or talk radio. It's head dumping talk radio. Some people call it regular radio. I call it head dumping talk radio. It's right here on AM 920 WGNU from 10 till noon on Thursdays. Right here. What you got to good to eat in there? I like listening to head dumping talk radio. My biscuits and mustard. Right here. On AM 920 WGNU. Alright, Dan.
This is Mitch Washington.
Time now for this is another Mitch Washington. Edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution.
Again this morning, this will be a best of the wake-up call broadcast. This morning, we are going back to August of 2004. Liz talked to Derek Jensen, the author of Welcome to the Machine.
There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound. That's a low name.
I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
Believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world and how they affect us. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
Good morning. Welcome back. Mondays at 9. It seems rather appropriate as I'm sitting here on the 13th floor, looking out the window on this cloudy, gloomy, rainy day. Seems rather appropriate that we are fixing to discuss some rather scary things. This morning I will be talking to author Derek Jensen, author of Welcome to the Machine. joining us from Crescent City, California. And I kind of want to begin with a line from George Orwell in 1984 that Derek talks about. And George Orwell poses the question in his book, 1984. Do you see what type of world we are creating? That's the question. Do you see what type of world are we creating? Derek Jensen, author of Welcome to the Machine, from Crescent City, California. Derek, good morning.
Good morning to you.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Derek, what kind of world are we creating out here? Should we be scared?
I think if we care about either the world itself or our own humanity, I think we should be very, very scared. The type of world that's being created is an increasingly regulated, increasingly surveilled world, where an increasingly controlled world, which of course means in the end an increasingly deadened world.
Well, you talk about in your book, the very first chapter, that kind of lays out your philosophy and your motivation for writing this book, and you talk about this all-seeing eye. And the reason I started with, do you see what type of world we're creating, is I don't think that people have connected the dots to the extraordinary changes in their world that have taken place. So could you walk us through some of the things that are going on in this all-seeing eye that many of us are unaware of?
Well, sure. This book really started because somebody sent me a zine several years ago, and the zine contained, it was about how the state, how federal government and corporations can keep us under surveillance. And the stuff in the zine was, frankly, I thought kind of like science fiction. I didn't believe it. These amazing capacities to watch us. And the good thing about the zine was that it was footnoted with, and I followed the person's footnotes back, and they were to credible sources. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I work on these issues all the time, and I don't know about this stuff. And so I knew I had to write about it. And some of the extraordinary things that are happening with the power to surveil, one of the ones is, they're called RFID tags.
Yes, talk about those.
And those are little chips that are being put into...
And these are radio frequency identification tags.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. They're little chips that are put into every consumer item, and it's in the process of being staged in right now. And like right now, when you buy a can of Coke, there's a... all cans of Coke have an identical code on them, so the person can scan them when they go to the cash register. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is that every pair of shoes, every tire, every can of Coke will have its own unique identifiable computer chip that can be tracked anywhere that this item goes, which means if you're wearing a pair of shoes that you bought at a certain place, those shoes can be tracked everywhere. And this sounds like science fiction, but the truth is that many companies are already doing this. Gillette, Benetton.
And why do they do it? Because it just seems like the interesting thing about all of this is that at the heart of it seems to be an effort to not only to surveil us, but also to get us to purchase more things.
Yeah, that's underlying a lot of it there. For RFID tags, one of the things they say, the way they're sort of selling it, is that this will help them track toilet paper as it moves across the country. It'll help them keep inventory, and it'll help cut back on shoplifting.
Following a roll of toilet paper from California to New York will help with shoplifting?
Well, the reason that would help is because then it will be in the store, and if it gets if it gets taken out of the store, then they could be able to track where the toilet paper goes. And they'd go, ah, so this person stole some toilet paper.
Okie dokie.
I forgot to tell you that euros, the currency in Europe, the European Union has a contract with, I believe it's Hitachi, to put these RFID tags into currency. And that's not happening in the United States yet, but it will probably very soon, which means, of course, there will be no anonymous transactions, no anonymous cash transactions.
There are people out there that are sitting and listening to this show somewhere in New York City that's saying, you know what, so what? So what if there is no anonymous transaction? Shouldn't be. If you can't do it in the light of day, then you're probably trying to do something wrong. Why should we be concerned about the fact that you can no longer anonymously exchange money?
Well, let's go with just a little bit more technology first. There are researchers at various schools, and this is already actually used by the cops, that have been able to, it ends up that when you look at a picture, if you recognize what's in the picture, your brain responds in a predictable fashion, and they can watch your brain waves, and they can tell if you recognize the scene. And so they can show you a picture of something, and you have the right to remain silent. It just won't do you any good.
That's fact.
And
that's the point that you make in your book. I think that's a great line.
Thank you. And the reason, okay, so, well, the line that's always put out by the cops and the feds and the corporations and the people who want to go along is, you know, if you have nothing to hide, then you have nothing to fear. I mean, what's the big deal? Who cares if you recognize a scene unless you were doing something bad there? But I have two words to say, which are Harriet Tubman, or how about Anne Frank? There's a big mistake made, which is that the conflation of something being illegal and something being wrong. And just because something is against the law does not mean that it's immoral. Once again, I don't think Harriet Tubman would agree. I mean, how easy would it have been if they had RFID tags in slaves to, well, we shouldn't say slaves. How easy would it be
if
they had
people.
In black people to not... But they were actually slaves. They were considered property.
Yeah, they were enslaved people.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Those pieces of property from the position of those in power, as they were tracked north. They could have been tracked very easily then. Mm-hmm. And that would have made the Underground Railroad impossible.
And then any money that Harriet Tubman would have received to assist in her in the freeing of enslaved people would have been able to get at Harriet Tubman and under the auspices of the law.
Yep, absolutely.
And simply to say that because the actual legal justification for enslavement has been done away, that is not to say that there are not acts that are going on that people need to do without the cover of light.
Well, and we just need to think about the responses to various protests, anti-globalization protests, for example, to know what is the... I mean, who is going to end up being surveilled in all cases? It's not... It always ends up being sort of a Trojan horse of, yeah, we're going to fight some crime with this, but it ends up primarily being used to simply, as I said, increase state and corporate power.
Now, this RFID, the radio frequency identification tag, that they want to put into the euro, how expensive is this?
Oh, they're very cheap. They're like, I don't remember. It's like 1 to 5 cents a piece, and they want to get the price down even less. They're very, very cheap, very, very tiny, and they contain, and it'll be pretty interesting, or it already is pretty interesting, because what it would mean is if you buy a sweater, then this is also how it's sold. You buy a sweater, then you walk into a store some other time, and then this way they can serve you better because they know, oh, you like this, you know, a certain type of sweater, a certain, they'll cost a certain amount. They can send you over to the shoes that cost an equivalent amount. And that's, once again, how the thing is sold. Well, that's one of the ways it's sold. It's also sold on safety. I don't know if you know about this, but certain members of the Department of Justice in Mexico now, in order to get into the building where they work, they have to have their arms chipped.
Yes, I read about that.
And it's also being sold as safety. I mean, you want your kid to be safe. You don't want your kid to be kidnapped, do you? So you got to chip your kid. And then there's the thing just
Well, they started with the dogs. They started with dogs and cats chipping animals to seduce us into and make it comfortable for us to accept the idea of chips and living things.
Right, exactly. I remember seeing this article back when Timothy McVeigh was on death row, that he was talking about how he had had a chip put in him, and he was it was telling him what to do, and this was all presented as always so crazy. But it was very interesting what some layout person did in the newspapers. They put that article right above an article about how people were getting their pets chipped all the time. So there was obviously somebody was attempting to make that connection through layout.
So in terms of other ways that people, things that people don't see coming down the pike, what are some others in the all-seeing eye technology that we need to be aware of?
I believe it's Georgia Tech, or it might be University of Georgia, there are researchers who are attempting to make a actual sort of dictionary of brain waves, so that when you think a certain word, if you think the word Bill or the word Mary, then your brain will have predictable waves. And so they're attempting to have volunteers will think Bill likes Mary, or Mary runs toward Bill, whatever, and then simple sentences like that, and then they can predict those. They can read that through the brainwaves. And right now I think they have about a 70% recognition on small sentences, on simple sentences. Very limited vocabulary, but it's a start, and that's pretty scary too.
And why is that scary?
Because it means you have, because as they develop, and they being the key word there, as they develop this dictionary, that means that they'll be able to effectively read people's minds as you think certain words. And that's, once again, when I first read about this, I was like, this is science fiction stuff, but it's actually happening.
We have to take a break. I'm talking to Derek Jensen, author of Welcome to the Machine, joining us from Crescent City, California. And, Derek, when we come back, I'd like to talk about who is this they that
okay,
you're
great.
Talking about, okay? When we come back, 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me.
And we remind you, you're listening to the best of The Wake Up Call. This goes back to August of 2004. Author Derek Jensen, Welcome to the Machine. More on surveillance and Big Brother after this important information break.
This is Mitch Washington of the San Luis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Tired of talking to the wall, the TV, the puppy.
Here, Fido.
314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. Give us a call. We'll listen.
You see us on television. You hear about us on the news. But do you really know policemen on the street? Now is your chance to find out. This is Sergeant Gary Wigger, host of Bad Boys on WGNU. Join us as we discuss topics ranging from review boards and high-speed chases to residency requirements for the police. We'll discuss gangs and drugs and how it affects your neighborhood every Friday at 10. We'll bring you politicians from Jefferson City and locally here in St. Louis as they craft laws which impact your everyday life. I won't fix your tickets, but I will offer you tips on personal safety and how to make your neighborhood a better place to live. That's Bad Boys with me, Sergeant Gary Wiggard, Friday mornings at 10, only on WGNU. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? WGNU time is now 6:30, and our temperature reading 54 degrees. Time for a look at traffic on the half hour. This traffic report being brought to you by the Illinois State Lottery. Northbound Highway 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge, traffic is in good shape. Also, no problems reported at I-64 at 5570. Also downtown, 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, traffic is normal. There is a report of a disabled vehicle on the Dr. King Bridge downtown, and traffic is slowing at the 5570 ramp. Westbound 270 between 367 and West Florissant, no problems reported there. Eastbound Highway 40 between Woods Mill and Mason, normal traffic. Traffic is on the go on eastbound 44 between Bowles and 270, and northbound 270 at 44, traffic is normal. Traffic is starting to get heavy on Interstate 70 at Highway 79. Also, I-44 on either side of 109, all traffic has been switched to the eastbound lanes due to road construction. The two lanes are open in each direction. Slight delays can be expected for eastbound traffic. This traffic report brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. Play the Illinois Lottery's Set for Life, six new instant games, $200 million in total available prizes, plus a second chance drawing. That's the Illinois Lottery. Have a ball and play responsibly. WGNU News Time is 6:32. The WGNU forecast, mostly sunny today with a high near 80 degrees. We have a slight chance for some showers to develop this afternoon. For tonight, partly cloudy with a chance of showers or thunderstorms developing, the overnight low in the mid-60s. Wednesday should be partly cloudy, and we have a chance for some showers in the morning, and then redeveloping in the mid-afternoon. The high tomorrow in the mid-80s. Currently 55 degrees here at WGNU. We'll get back to more of the best of the wake-up call with Liz Brown. Coming up at 7 o'clock, Irene Smith will be here to take your calls and comments on the wake-up call program. A few more messages now, and then back to the best of the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, this is Alfred Durley, your host of the German Hit Parade radio program. Heard every Sunday afternoon from 2:30 till 4 here on WGNU. Enjoy the beautiful melodies and timely news from Germany as we make your Sunday afternoon just a little bit brighter. The German Hit Parade is the longest running German program on radio in St. Louis, and I hope you make it part of your weekend listening every Sunday afternoon from 2:30 till 4 right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Can you still become a hero at work? Yes. Is it still easy? You bet. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner each week and deliver a basket of goodies to the winning workplace. You have to hurry, though. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees and family of WGNU Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNU Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Hello, I'm John Womack. I have a new show on WGNU called On the Table. Some of the things we'll talk about will be restaurants, food and wine trends, recipes, but really, we're just trying to help you experience great food and wine, whether you're at home or out on the town. So if you love great food and wine, you'll love On the Table. Be listening every Tuesday at noon here on WGNU.
Hi, this is Judy Moskov. Join me for a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon. We'll be talking with gardening experts and sharing information that you need to know. Get the latest dirt on everything from tomatoes to trees. That's a Gardener's Notebook every Monday at noon.
This is Donna Gamash.
And this is Sabrina Underwood.
Join us for Women Inspiring Women every weekday afternoon at 1 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. Every day, Sabrina and I will bring you amazing women who will motivate, inspire, educate, and entertain you. Every Wednesday, Shira Dalen, owner of Caris Media, discusses the who, what, when, and where of how to get what you need to make it happen in your professional and personal life. So join me, Donna Gamash,
and me, Sabrina Underwood,
for Women Inspiring Women every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Mondays at 9. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I am talking to author Derek Jensen, joining us from Crescent City, who has written a book, Welcome to the Machine, Science, Surveillance, and the Culture of Control. One of the quotes from there's quite a bit of George Orwell throughout the book, which is scary. George Orwell in 1984, if you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever. Derek, on the way out, we asked who's the they in this creating all of this science and all of these ways to surveil us and get into our lives. Who's the they?
Well, I think I would like to answer that question by going around in a little bit of a circle.
All right.
And I would like to start by mentioning the Panopticon.
Oh, yes, do that.
Which was a prison design by Jeremy Bentham. And the design's pretty brilliant.
What year was this, Derek?
Oh, gosh, when was Jeremy Bentham?
Like in the 1800s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the design is you have a guard tower in the center that's kept dark, and then all the cells are radial from that guard tower, and they are always kept bright. And what this means is that the guard can always see into the cells, and the prisoners can never see back into the guard tower. And the key here is that the surveillance should be always possible and never verifiable, because then the prisoners effectively end up controlling themselves because they never know when they're being watched. And this is an actual prison design. I live in a town with Pelican Bay State Prison. I used to teach creative writing there. It's a supermax here in town. And that's actually a Panopticon design. But the key, and Michel Foucault made this, he's a French philosopher, made this clear in the 1970s, that the key is that the Panopticon is not actually just a piece of architecture. It's a way to run an entire society so that sort of those in power are always kept in the dark, where where we can't see what they're doing, where on the other hand, they increasingly see everything that we do. And that power imbalance is, and if we had, you know, hours and hours, we could talk about how that power imbalance is the pornographic relationship. It's the scientific relationship. It's, you know, a viewer who remains detached, always viewing this other who is under their power. And so that's sort of part of it, is who is the they, is those at the center. But it's actually much more dangerous than that because of the Panopticon, because they ends up, it's like this friend of mine, George, who's my co-author for this book. It's one of the things he always says, is you don't have to have a conspiracy when everybody thinks the same.
Well, it's not a conspiracy.
Yeah, it's not a conspiracy at all. So if you have, once we buy into the notion that this, that as long as we don't have anything to hide, that we have nothing to fear, as long as we buy into that, then we actually bring the they into our own hearts, into our own minds. And then, of course, it's any sort of movement in the right direction becomes very, very problematical. And one of my favorite quotes from the book is from right near the end, where we talk to a former head of so-called security, a head of the secret police under the apartheid regime in South Africa, where he says that the thing that he was the most afraid of from the African National Congress was not their sabotage or even their violence, as it was the possibility that they would convince the mass of people to no longer believe in law and order, to no longer believe that there's a direct relationship between laws and morality. And he said no security in the force in the world could handle that, which I think all these technologies are increasingly putting these nooses around our necks. But I think one of the important things to remember is that no matter what technologies there are, it's even more dangerous when we allow the oppressor back into our own selves. I mean, Stephen Biko has this great line about the most powerful tool in the hands of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed.
Absolutely. So talk to us. I want to skip to the chapter that you wrote in your book, Welcome to the Machine, Money. Let's talk about money. How much money is going into, invested into these efforts to get into our lives scientifically to spy on us? How much money is going into this? And give us some of the examples of some of the things that money is being spent on.
Well, the answer is a lot.
a whole lot. Incalculable, quite frankly.
Yeah. In big and small ways. I mean, Canada is setting up a national identity card system. It's going to cost about $3 to $5 billion. Just in 2002, Congress passed legislation to provide $900 million for research and developing to secure cyberspace. $54 million given by Congress in 2002-2003 for the Total Information Awareness Program, which is a pretty scary title. $3.5 billion a year for so-called smart cards. I mean, it's a lot of money. And, I mean, I guess part of the good news is that a lot of this money is wasted, as federal money often is. Here's actually a really big one that needs to be mentioned, is that between $20 and $35 billion is spent every year to keep people in jails and prisons.
So in terms of how that tracks into going back to the RFID chips, mm-hmm. those chips are actually going into products here in the United States.
Oh, yeah. Procter & Gamble's using them. Gillette. The town of Tulsa, Oklahoma was already wired as a test, the entire town, to make sure that they could effectively track them. I mean, this is not science fiction. This is stuff that's already happening.
454-0400 is my phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU is my long distance number. And don't forget, we are broadcasting live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net or lizbrown.com. We will be taking your calls and questions. Give us a call at 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. Fax your question at 454, that's 314-454-6609. Get to us. Derek, we're going to take a couple questions here. Dimitri, good morning. You have a question or comment?
Good morning, Liz. I'm just saying that this idea of planting chips into all sorts of articles is in a way, in a reverse way, a good thing. And the reason I'm saying that is that here's an example of why I'm saying that. Nuclear energy was once the exclusive property of the U.S. and now bombs, and now 10 countries in the world have the nuclear bomb. Supposing someone who's anti-government gets a hold of some of these chips and they plant them in the president's shoes, and then they know where he is and what he's doing. Also, you were talking earlier about $1.5 billion money that disappeared in Kurdish banks. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there were some chips in that money and we found out it went straight to Israel?
Thanks for your call and question. Caller makes an argument that, well, you know, we can find some positive use. That's where we begin to do a balancing act, right, Derek? When we balance this out, is it better for us in the long run? Is it worse for us in the long run?
Well, I'm a big believer in attempting to use. I mean, I don't really believe in spiritual purity. You know, I want to live in a world, for example, with more wild salmon every year than the year before,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we can extend that to whatever issues we really, really care about. And so, sure, I would be willing to use chips if that would help. But the problem is that the resources are, I mean, I can't go buy a Predator drone to surveil those in power. And if I could, then those in power would, well, if I did get a hold of a Predator drone and used it, then I would, you would probably end up calling me in Guantanamo, you know?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
so, not your lawyer.
Exactly. And so the point is that that we won't get access to the means to it's an uneven battle this way, and
we're not going to get what they have.
Exactly.
We're never going to get what they have.
Exactly. And so that doesn't mean we can't use their tactics when they work to our advantage, but it means that I don't think that we should welcome them because that increasing power to surveil will be used by those with the most resources.
What is smart dust? I want to talk about that because it's a spooky, spooky, spooky thing. When we come back, we have to take another break. This is Derek Jensen, author of Welcome to the Machine, joining us from Crescent City, California. I'm Liz Brown. This is Mondays at 9. And, Derek, before I go, I have a question for you. Did you read Walter Mosley's book, The Future World?
No, I didn't.
You need to read that. It's a great companion to your book, talking about using technology and tracking ahead several decades and what happens with the use of technology. I think that you would find that a very good compliment to what you have done.
Well, I'll definitely read that.
Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I will be back after this break. Stay with us.
And again, we remind you, you're listening to the best of the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown speaking to author Derek Jensen. He wrote the book Welcome to the Machine. This interview on surveillance of the public aired originally in August of 2004. We'll be back with more of the best of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown right after these important messages. By the way, the Wake Up Call Global News Update will not be heard this morning at this time.
This is Jim Curran, Curran Events. Join me Tuesday evenings from 10 to 11 p.m., where we allow both sides of an issue to be heard. That's Curran Events, Tuesday nights at 10 to 11, right here on WGNU.
Tune in to Roster Resolutions, the number one reggae program in America. King Silos, Roster Resolutions comes your way every Saturday night from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Also on the net, that's www.wgenu.net, Roster Resolutions.
I am Dr. Jen, and I'm taking your love life calls. And here's Kevin. Go ahead.
Jen, what's the easiest way to get to 79 Williams Ave?
Follow your heart?
For the easiest route to any address, you want to ask TomTom, not Jen.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen, and a helpful voice guides you on your way.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
With all that's said in the public arena about prayer, who prays, what they pray for, how frequently they pray, it's helpful to hear from people whose full-time occupation is to help others through prayer. You will hear how they pray and hear about some significant results. That's on the next radio edition of the Christian Science Sentinel.
The Christian Science Sentinel, Sundays at 1 p.m. here on AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences, with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours a week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's LIZZ. The Wake Up Calls 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
This is Ed Asner. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. And now back to more of the best of the morning Wake Up Call. This morning, the interview goes back to August of 2004, talking about surveillance with Derek Jensen, author of the book Welcome to the Machine.
Welcome back to Mondays at 9. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I am talking to author Derek Jensen, author of Welcome to the Machine, Science, Surveillance, and the Culture of Control. Derek Jensen is joining us from Crescent City, California. Derek, welcome back. Talk to us about smart dust. What is that?
Smart dust are very small, self-contained sensing and communication platforms. And what that means in real words is it's small, you know, chips and boards that about the size, half, right now they're about half the size of a credit card, and they want to make them much smaller. And what they can do is they can sense movement, they can sense heat, they can sense vibration, and it could be a useful thing if you're a manufacturer. If you have some machine that you think might start vibrating too much, if you put this in, you don't have to do physical sense. You don't have to watch it. It can detect changes like in forest fires or stuff like that. But the plan, according to the people at the Center for the Embedded Network Sensing at UCLA, is that they want to put these little sensors in roads, parking ramps, traffic lights, factories, airports, farms, hospitals, your car, your home, groundwater, plankton, communities in the ocean, you name it. They want to put these sensors everywhere, and then they can detect movement. It, for example, could be used, somebody could sprinkle those around their home for a security system. So if anybody walks in it, then that can be detected. And one of the dangers of that is that the U.S. military is already planning. They've already got attempts to make what they called battlefields at sea or something like that,
mm-hmm.
that to have the capacity to keep entire cities under constant surveillance through the use of smart dust, through the use of surveillance cameras, to track, and this is not me making this up, this is their own language, to track the movement of every vehicle in a city, which means and every person in a city through face recognition software. I mean, I'm sure you know, for example, that just a few years ago at the Super Bowl, they checked
that face identification, the scanning of the faces.
Yeah, because they were trying to find chemical company CEOs and get them for poisoning the planet. That's actually a joke. They were they weren't using it quite for that purpose.
You know that there are rumors out there. You mentioned at the beginning of the interview that the euros will soon have these chips to identify them in their money. There are rumors out there that our new $20 bill, our new $50 bills, have been implanted with these strips that identify where they are. Is that accurate? Is that true? Should we be concerned about that?
Well, I think those are two different questions. Should we be concerned? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate? I don't believe so, because I heard that rumor, and so I contacted Catherine Albrecht, who is a great anti-RFID activist. She's really something. And she said that, to the best of her knowledge, that is not true yet in the United States. And once again, she's really up on this stuff, and I would believe her.
Well, now, in terms of, because we have about, I think I want to take one more call, but before we get to that call, I want you to consider this for the last part of this interview. humanity. What should we be doing? What should we be concerned about in terms of all of this technology that is coming at us? And what is it that we should be doing? But let me take this call or comment, this question or comment. Welcome to Mondays at 9. You have a question for our guest, Derek Jensen.
Mr. Jensen, I was wondering, did you have any knowledge? I was told that there is a possibility, a capability that they can watch inside of your house through some icons from like cable television and television itself. Do you have any knowledge of anything of that nature?
I don't. I have a three-pronged answer. The first prong is my understanding is that with sort of current levels of technology that's not feasible. I mean, like if you got, you know, your 1967 Sylvania or something, it's probably not going to be wired to be able to do that. But the second prong is that that is something, you know, actually that's not true because I just read not very long ago that hackers have been able to turn on webcams. If you've got a webcam attached to your computer, that people can take control of that from the outside. I read that not very long ago.
So the cameras that it's kind of like what they say about the internet. If you want to not let anybody look through your files, get access to your computer, you need to turn the computer all the way off.
Right.
So the same with the web cameras. They now are you're now saying that people, some hackers have been able to turn the camera on you, even
Correct.
When you don't have it on.
Correct.
Mm.
And I'm sure that the feds would love to be able to make the TV a remote sensing device, and I have no doubt that technology will be in place reasonably soon. And the next part is another thing about computers is that, and the feds can do this already, there's something called keystroke trackers where they can put a computer, they can implant a program on your computer that can then track every one of your keystrokes.
So that they can know exactly what you're saying.
Right. And the third prong of this is that in some ways it's not, I mean, yeah, they can watch through, or they will be able to watch through the TV, but already they have remote sensing devices that they can aim through walls to be able to see you inside sort of X-ray devices. I mean, that's actually not science fiction. That's something they have the capacity to do already.
Mm-hmm.
They could, you know, sit out in a car with whatever piece of technology this is and be able to see through the wall. It's pretty scary stuff.
Okay, and one more question. Earl, you have a quick question or comment?
Yes, my question is regarding laptops. Can the laptop be detected where it's being used from, an error?
Oh, that gets us into a huge, important topic, which is GPS, Global Positioning Satellite. My mind's going blank on what this stands for. But it's basically those chips that they can put in cars, whatever they already put in cars, to track wherever they are. So if your laptop would have one of those chips in it, which increasingly they will put them in, it could be tracked. Right now I think laptops, I hesitate to say this because I don't want somebody to get in trouble for using a laptop after they think it's safe, but I think that as long as you don't have those, you could use a laptop without it being detected somewhere.
Mm. Derek Jensen, I am so sorry. We are coming to the end of the hour here. Where can people get a copy of Welcome to the Machine?
Well, either at my website, which is derekjensen.org, or at any bookstore.
Derek Jensen, author of Welcome to the Machine, thank you so much for joining
us
here.
You're a great interviewer.
Take care. Thank you very much. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I'll be back same time.
And we remind you that you have been listening to a best of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. This morning, the program went back to August of 2004, and our guest was Derek Jensen, author of Welcome to the Machine, discussing surveillance before surveillance became a national issue. Stay tuned. We have Irene Smith coming up for the next couple of hours on the Morning Wake Up Call to take your calls and comments here. And we're coming up to the 7 o'clock hour. We'll have news from ABC and then more of the Morning Wake Up Call with Irene Smith. It's 56 degrees, chance of showers later this afternoon.
Sharing in this city. trouble. More and more people need help, but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Charity, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are good and equal. Yet many are denied equal.
So we say to all in this nation who...
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. How would you like to learn that your identity may have been stolen? Millions of American veterans are being told that, and it's the government that may have put it at risk. A Veterans Administration employee, to be specific. It deals with information that was on a compact disc the employee took home. More from ABC's Stephen Portnoy in Washington.
The government has set up a hotline and a website to ease veterans' fears. Officials say there's no indication the stolen data is being used, but they're warning all affected veterans and their families to monitor their credit card and bank statements just in case.
The employee is now on leave. Okay, there was a little, but not enough for real concern. That's what the FTC is saying about price gouging after Hurricane Katrina. Some congressional Democrats aren't so sure they plan to ask FTC officials some tough questions at a hearing today. The police chief of Columbus, Texas, would like to talk to President Bush about a plan to send the National Guard to the border. Paul Armijo is worried that the additional arrests would overwhelm his four-man department. The chief has a suggestion, though.
If they want to have National Guardsmen come in to do the processing for them, now I can see that happen.
But the guard says that's probably not going to happen. President Bush sits down today with Israel's new leader.
President Bush and Olmert can agree that Iran's nuclear program must be stopped and that internal Palestinian fighting helps no one. But Olmert flew to Washington for one main reason. That's to convince President Bush to sign off on his plan for Israel's pullout from the occupied West Bank. According to his aides, Olmert won't be able to squeeze that much out of President Bush. He prefers negotiations to one-sided moves.
ABC's Matt Gottman in Jerusalem. His name is Mike Smith. He's never run for public office, but he wants to be president. The Oregon man wants the GOP nomination.
I think there are definitely a set of Republicans out there that are increasingly uncomfortable with where the party's gone recently and how government has grown, particularly at the federal level.
This is ABC News.
Looking for great tires and great deals? Then look for Uniroyal Value Days, going on now through June 10. Make your money go further on the longest-wearing Uniroyal tires ever. Tiger Paw Touring for cars and Laredo Cross Country for SUVs and pickups. Durable, dependable, and best of all, affordable. Uniroyal Value Days. Great tires, great deals. Going on now through June 10. Visit Uniroyal.com to find a participating dealer near you. Uniroyal, for everything you value.
Aflac for Small Business, how can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business, you dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business, just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business, because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Only one can win, so who will the next American Idol be, Catherine or Taylor? ABC's Liz White talked to students and teachers at a high school in Ridgewood, New Jersey about it.
The Idol debate's heated in homes where some parents bet with their kids.
Bet really stupid stuff, like my mom says, like, oh, I'll eat Tabasco if this guy gets out.
That sixth grader's rooting for Taylor.
He doesn't have, like, the Idol, like, stereotypical look. Like, with the gray hair. Love that.
Her friend at Benjamin Franklin Middle School is pro-Catherine.
Catherine, it's all natural, and she never really tries too hard or overdoes it.
School staffers are more discerning, right? Lorna Oates Santos says, not really.
I think that the adults get just as sucked in to the backstory as the children, for the most part, because... it's marketing. We all like a story. We're all suckers for a story.
Liz White, ABC News.
Would a chance to win $1 million get you to the voting booth? A political activist in Arizona thinks so. He's gotten enough signatures on a petition for a random drawing after the vote. Now he just has to get election officials to buy it. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
And this report of WGNU News is brought to you by TomTom. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. Taking a look at the news, the U.S. Air Force is now in possession of its newest precision weapon.
The first of the small diameter bombs was rolled out yesterday at the Boeing weapons facility in St. Charles. Dan Jaspering, the SDB program manager for Boeing, says the Air Force is investing $1.2 billion for production of the system.
We expect this weapon to be in production for years to come. How long will depend upon how well it operates when it's fielded. But the anticipated production run is 24,000 weapons and 2,000 of the carriage systems, which mounts the weapon to the aircraft.
The weapon system is compatible with every U.S. fighter and bomber aircraft. The system will be deployed first on the Boeing F-15E Strike Eagle later this year. In other news, the mother of the girl allegedly attacked by a former teacher is speaking out about the incident. 17-year-old Ashley Reeves was left for dead at a Belleville park late last month and is recovering at Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital. Ashley's mom, Michelle, gave a brief update on Ashley's condition at the hospital yesterday. She says there's some good news.
I would love to be able to tell you a lot more than I'm allowed to tell you at this time. My daughter is doing better every day. We have good days, we have bad days. Her neck was injured in the attack. However, subsequent x-rays indicate no fractures and no paralysis.
The St. Louis Post-Dispatch says the Reeves family has filed a civil suit against Sam Shelton, who's charged with the attempted murder and kidnapping of Ashley Reeves. Shelton is out on bond. And finally, at this hour, May is National Mental Health Month, and one local service organization wants people to pay attention. Yolanda Rogers, a spokesperson for Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri, says mental health is not just about mental illness.
I think the basic thing that we want people to remember is you have to have a connection between your mind and your body to really be a healthy overall person. And this month really puts us into perspective.
Rogers says if you're having a mental health crisis, no matter how small, seek help. That's WGNU News, brought to you by TomTom. TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. I'm Peyton Colston, reporting WGNU News.
And it's 7:06 here at WGNU. Time for a look at traffic. And before traffic, we have this note from the newsroom. An early morning fire on the north side is being investigated. The blaze broke out about 4 o'clock this morning at a home in the 5,000 block of Cabiney. Flames reportedly spread to homes on both sides of the structure. Cadaver dogs are going to be used to determine if anyone was inside when the fire broke out. Now a look at traffic brought to you by the Illinois Lottery at 255 at 5570. There's a serious accident reported involving an overturned tractor-trailer truck. Again, that's at 5570 at I-255. Eastbound 70 between Highway K and 79, traffic is slow going at this hour. Traffic is also stop and go in pockets on northbound 270 between Gravois and Marshall. Traffic is on the go between Bowles and 270 on 44. There is slow and heavy traffic on Highway 40 between Woods Mill and Mason. Westbound 270 between 367 and West Florissant and North County is running normal this hour. Eastbound 70 between Highway 180 and Cypress, traffic is slow. And no problems to report on 270 between 367 and West Florissant. Southbound 55 at River de Pere, slow. There's a slow-moving maintenance vehicle that has the left lane boxed up. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley, traffic is starting to get heavy there. There are some delays reported on eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh. Downtown on the King Bridge, all the roadways have now been reopened, but traffic is still slow as you approach the bridge from the east side. Westbound 5570 between Exchange and the King Bridge split. Traffic is slow, and it's slow from 4th Street to the Poplar Street Bridge as well. Traffic westbound between Baugh and the Poplar Street Bridge is also slow. That's westbound 64. Northbound 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge complex. Traffic is moving right along at this hour. You can play Illinois Lottery's Set for Life game, 6 new instant games, $200 million in total available prizes, plus a second chance drawing. That's the Illinois Lottery, where you can have a ball, but play responsibly. WGNU News Time is now 7:09. And the forecast for the WGNU listening area calls for mostly sunny skies today. We do have a chance for some showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. The high should be around 80 degrees. Tonight it'll be a partly cloudy evening with a chance for some showers, and the low will be in the mid-60s. For Wednesday, partly sunny with a few showers and thunderstorms possible, the high in the mid-80s. The current WGNU temperature reading stands at 56 degrees. WGNU News Time is 7:09. Stay tuned next. We have the Morning Wake-Up Call with Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz Brown. And Irene will be here in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Carrie of our show.
And I'm Elaine Adams. Join us here in the ladies' room every Tuesday and Thursday starting May 11th from 4 until 5 p.m. An exclusive format for ladies with challenging, insightful, objective, and thought-provoking topics.
Featured weekly, a diverse segment of the female population, where dialogue is exchanged about issues of immediate concern and topics that could become conversations of the late night. The Ladies' Room. It's time to revive, restore, renew, rejuvenate, and refresh, where there's always something to talk about.
So join us in The Ladies' Room.
Good morning. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. They got her. Jury duty. Ah, she got it in a panel. You know, you do jury duty. You go out and you sit and you wait for your number to be called. Well, they called Little Sister Talker's number early afternoon yesterday. And guess what kind of case she got called on? Murder first. But since the circuit attorney's office has so many new attorneys, many young, they didn't know who she was. Neither did the defense attorney. But I'm convinced that somebody knew who she was because the defendant looked up, he saw Liz Brown. They asked for a recess. So they had a little conference in there, and the jury pool is standing out waiting on them. Next thing you know, they come out and say, the guy pled guilty. So Sister Talker is going back to the jury room proper today, the big jury room, and we'll see if her number comes up before early afternoon. If not, they'll probably cut her loose. But she got assigned out on a murder case. That is funny. The former public defender got assigned out of a murder case. Yesterday, as we were ending a very lively discussion about a number of things, and particularly conversation about the conditions that exist, particularly in St. Louis and the African-American community, Brother Bill asked me to talk about what's a nuisance house. You know what I'm saying? That's one of the mechanisms that the city of St. Louis uses. And actually, there's a state statute dealing with nuisance houses as well. If there is particular activity that is generated around and in a particular address, then after, I believe it's three calls from different sources or different individuals complaining about it, then a notice letter goes out from the Department of Public Safety about conditions that they suspect. So after that, notices go out. Then there may be, if the activity is not corrected, then the people can actually be put out of their home. Of course, they're entitled to a hearing. And a lot of people will say, you know, okay, you shut down this house. When we all know that houses don't do any activities. It's the individuals that live in the house or frequent the home. Many see this as another attempt, and it can be misused because many are seeing it as an attempt to take people's property. However, a lot of other people see it as it's just a last resort. You know, just give us some peace. Just get those fools out of here. Let's just go. Okay? Another kind of news alert for you veterans out there. I guess if you watched the news yesterday, if you didn't, a lot of you all are at risk because it appears as there's been a big theft of veterans and possibly their spouse's ID from the VA. About 26.5 million veterans are thought to be at risk as a result of this ID theft. I mean, it's amazing. So here we go again. And what about Kenny Lay? Kenny Lay is an Indian giver. He gave some money to my alma mater, Mizzou, and now he say he want it back. First he said, well, you all haven't seated the chair, because he gave money. You know, people who have money, they will oftentimes give money to universities, you know, to in attempts to maybe attract or give a particular position to a very noteworthy, very qualified. So Kenny Lay gave the University of Missouri in Columbia $1.1 million. You know, I guess that was during his Enron really, really good stealing days. You know, so he figured that he'd give some money to Mizzou. So first, you know, Mizzou hadn't seated anybody, you know. And so then he made a request. Well, give me the money back because, you know, I want to help the Katrina victims. You know, they weren't too moved. We shall not be moved. They were not too moved by that. So Kenny Lay laid back a little bit. He was like, they still haven't did anything. But I need that money. You know, these legal fees are mounting. You know, they actually are charging me with some kind of crime as a result of all the thievery and trickery that I did. So now Kenny Lay say, would you give me my money back? I need it for legal fees. You know, Mizzou has probably said, you should have just said that in the first place. But no, we're not giving you the money back, Kenny. You got to go find some money somewhere else. So it's going to be interesting to see how this unfolds. Kenny Lay say, money is tight these days. It's not flowing the way it was when I was stealing from y'all. You understood that was stolen money. I need that money back to pay my legal expenses. And for you of all who like to horse around in the house, you know how sometimes you tussle, you know, you play. Well, you know, the Supreme Court yesterday issued a unanimous decision that says that they can, police officers can come into your house without a warrant if there's a fight in progress. For those of you who are doing your workouts with your judo moves and your karate moves, you know, and I'm going to particularly let my sister Venus and my brother-in-law Howard know this because they are both karate buffs, and you know, they're both have, I think my brother-in-law is a third degree he has a third degree black belt in karate, and I'm not sure my sister has some brown belt or whatever, but they better not be working out at home, because the police will be free to come into your home. If there is a fight in progress, for you, those of you, you know, holidays coming up, Memorial Day is coming up, sometimes folks get a little too much in their belly and they want to tussle a little bit, want to fight a little bit, I want you to understand that as a result of the Supreme Court's unanimous decision, that if the police reasonably believe, have a reasonable, objective view that a fight is in progress in your house, they can knock down a door and come up in your house. So I want you to think about that as you tussle about. So right now, the phones are starting to light up, 1, 2, 3, 4, as we speak. And so we're going to go to Martha West, who wants to talk about voter identification. As you know, the Missouri legislature, controlled by the Republicans, have passed a very repressive voter ID bill. In addition, I think it also does away with straight party voting. Say, for an example, if you wanted to vote straight Democrat or straight Republican, for that matter, in the past, you could go in and it would be a marker on the ballot that says straight Democrat or straight Republican. That is no longer the case. For those of you who do not have identification, and it is expected that this will impact greatly the elderly and the disabled and those individuals who lack the resources to have official government ID, because you have to have government ID. You can't even have a school identification. It will not suffice. So we're going to go to the phone lines and see what Martha West has to say about that. Good morning. Good morning, Martha.
Get that out, because, you know, November will be here shortly.
Well, the legislation has been passed. I don't know if the governor has signed it yet. It's my understanding there's going to be a legal challenge. We have talked about that. In fact, we talked about it last Thursday on Eye on the Lou, and we will be getting that information out. We're also looking forward to entities that say they represent our interests and who say they want to protect our right to vote. We're looking to see whether or not there's going to be a legal challenge to this, and if they are not successful with the legal challenge, whether or not those same entities, and I'm talking about the Democratic Party, the NAACP, and other entities, the Urban League, whether or not they will attempt to use some of their resources to get the word out.
So, you know, over here at Kings Highway, that bridge going through Penrose Park?
Yes, ma'am.
I talk about that because I think we had a discussion Saturday with our state representative and my committee woman. Two of those ballparks will be taken.
Well,
over there.
It's like this. For 9 years, we have worked to get the bridge work done up there. And it was necessary in order to do the correct configuration to take out some of those balls, because they had to move the bridge over. This is a safety feature, and I can tell you, Ms. West, that I spent a great deal of time. Your former alderwoman of the 20th ward did. Your present alderman, Charles Troop, God rest her soul, Ms. Diggs, and others. We spent a lot of time meeting to discuss getting that bridge done, pushing for it. One time the city was going to be totally responsible for it. Then the state was going back and forth. We went through a lot of design phases relative to that bridge. And it's unfortunate that those diamonds are going to have to be taken out, but it's a safety matter. So I think it's a necessary situation.
Maybe they can get a park, you know, the ballpark someplace else.
Mm-hmm. I think that we should work, that's a very good point. And yeah. Later on, and I'm going to talk about some other movement to take away park space in another park in the city. And I'm not even talking about Forest Park.
Okay. Also, please ask for our black stamps at the post office, because they're going to destroy them because we are not buying them.
Well,
ask for that complaint form.
Okay.
Ask for your black stamp. And also, Friday the 26th, the Ola America Mac Group, we're going to be out to the port up there in Muni, at the Muni Pavilion.
Okay.
From 9 to 3.
All right.
All of you come on out. Bring your uncles and aunties. We're going to be there.
All right.
Swing it.
You have a good day.
Thank you.
Swing on. Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Smith.
Good morning.
This is Dolores. Listen, I know that Jennifer Joyce did not know that she picked Dr. Elizabeth Brown. Boy, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. You meant it for evil, and God meant it for good. The only better person they could have got on that jury is me. Have a good day, Doctor.
All right. Okay. Well, you know, as a result of the change in the law, attorneys have to do jury duty. And actually, the time before last, Liz and I actually got our jury duty notices at the same time. We were both scheduled to do jury duty at the same time. I went on ahead and I did mine last year. And Liz was able to get hers delayed. And I told her, I said, it's going to fall on an inopportune time when they continue it. And it did. It failed during the week of the mayoral election last year. She was able to get it delayed again. She didn't attempt to get it delayed this time. She had been sitting. She called me. She said, I'm just sitting here. They haven't called my number. And then a couple of hours later, they called her for a murder first case. Interesting. Let's talk about some government spying. Antonio, good morning.
Well, it's always a pleasure, as you well know. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Excellent, excellent. You know what I was going to talk about, a thing that's been disturbing to me for a long time, and I realize I really can't do a lot about it, but I look at how the United States, as an example, flaunts their might and tries to portray this image of "In God We Trust" and freedom, freedom, freedom. We beat freedom to death and democracy. But then when I look at the hypocrisy and the lies and the corruption and the kickbacks and payoffs and how the legal system is metered out unfairly and unjustly, whether it's the death penalty or crack cocaine versus powder cocaine, and just a whole litany of things in this country that I think are hypocritical and phony. A classical example is we vote China most favored nation every year, but yet Tiananmen Square, human rights violations, and the things that go on in China that we're supposedly supposed to be against, we kind of overlook that and sweep it under the rug so long as we're doing business with them. So therein lies the hypocrisy. And I just think that when you are a country that goes around the world, whether it's at the United Nations or here or there or whatever, trying to tell people how they should live at the point of a gun, and that your way, my way, or the highway, and practicing the bullyism. Now, to me, if you're going to tell me about being the moral fiber and freedom and democracy, but yet you're crooked as the day is long, to me, I'm not going to listen to you, because I look at you, how you outsource torture, what you've done at Guantanamo or Abu Ghraib or this place and that. And so when you look at how this country really is, to me it's a joke for anybody to be so blind that they can't see that this country is about money and power and the Bilderbergers, Rothschilds, Kennedys, and Skull and Bones and the oil cartels. And you and I are really cannon fodder, and we're expendable. The only thing you and I are good for is our Social Security number to get taxes from us, and then they hope you die before you collect it. So, you know, I know I've covered a lot of territory, but this is what is disturbing to me, is that most Americans are so brainwashed into this American lifestyle, and then if they hear somebody like me talking, they'll say, well, if you don't like it, why don't you leave and go to another country and get out of here?
You know what? A friend of mine told me that we always draw the line closest to our feet, and certainly America does that. I mean, you know, America does not have the moral right to dictate and to talk about freedom,
democracy, all that mess,
all of that. I mean, it's freedom in the context in which they define it, and it's democracy in the context that they define
exactly.
So it's a lot to look at, but you have people that wrap themselves in the flag and they just have amnesia as to America's past.
You know what's funny? I think you got a grip of what I'm saying. Let me lay this on you. You know, I was talking to a guy the other day, a white fella.
You have one minute. Go ahead, Jerry.
Okay, I'm sorry. I told him, I said, what country injected syphilis into black people, the Tuskegee syphilis experiment? I said, what country used to tar and feather and lynch and blow up black churches? I said, what country has used weapons of mass destruction more than any other country in the world as far as Hiroshima and Nagasaki and spraying some chemicals over St. Louis that the Army did a test, and they do tests on people without you knowing about it? I said, what country had used Agent Orange and stuff and lied to their veterans and didn't want to give them benefit? What country used Desert Storm Syndrome when we were at war over there, and then they lie through their teeth about the problems that these soldiers are having when they come back? Now, if our country's supposed to be all this, and we're telling everybody else, but then we won't mess with China or Korea, we won't mess with countries that can kick our butt, we pick on folks that we can get their oil, we pick on folks and we fabricate different people that we know we can dog them out, but we won't take on somebody like North Korea or China or somebody. We're supposed to be all of this, but yet we're so phony and we're so full of lies.
Yeah.
And that's the sad part, is don't tell me about how tough you are, but you won't take on North Korea. Don't tell me how tough you are, but you're scared to take on China.
All right, now.
You know, we're a bully. We got the bullyism, and we're brainwashed like a horse with blinders.
All right, now. I can see you feel strongly about that. Thanks for your comments. I'm going to move on. We're going to hear about a comment on Sunday's parade. Good morning.
How are you doing, Ari?
I'm good.
Brother Isaiah.
How are you?
Great.
That's good.
I was trying to get a follow-up on the Animal on Parade and see what the response was from the actual people that had went.
Well, I talked to individuals who went. Basically, they gave projections about 30,000 people showed up. There certainly was, it was roomy, it was not crowded. I talked to a couple of, one youngster who attended. She said that it was a, you know, of course, a more mixed, a racially mixed crowd, still predominantly African American. Now, this is from a sophomore in high school. She said that she got the feeling that they would not be downtown anymore. She did indicate that there were not, she did not see any African American vendors. She said that's not to say that there weren't any, she just didn't see any. The picture that was featured yesterday in the Post, it had a vendor, and it looks like he was selling some cotton candy and some other trinkets. That vendor happened to be Caucasian. So a lot of people are upset, you know, were upset, and including yours truly, with the move because of its impact on the small businesses along the route and those. But if you want to hold on, you want to talk about it a little bit more, we're at the bottom of the hour.
No, I just want to get a follow-up.
Okay, so, dear, thank you for calling. You have a good day here. We'll be back after the break.
Neck of the woods, the summer's a scorcher.
It's hot.
And the mosquitoes are mean.
Ow!
This summer, get the sunblock that also blocks the bugs. New Bullfrog Mosquito Coast Sunblock and Repellent in One. The SPF 30 protects against UVA and UVB rays, while the deep free repellent protects against bites up to 8 hours and no chemical smell. New Bullfrog Mosquito Coast. Block the burn and the bite. Find in the sun care aisle. Use as directed.
Bullfrog!
Get in the zone with AutoZone.
Whether you're hauling a load or just hitting the road, AutoZone has everything you need for your truck or SUV. We've got all the latest accessories, truck boxes, bed covers, step bumpers, and winches, plus everything you need to tow and travel safely, like hitches and hitch balls, couplers and locks, drawbars, lights, and adapters. With more than 750,000 parts, AutoZone is the only place to shop for your truck or SUV. So get in the zone. AutoZone.
And good morning. It's 7:31 here at WGNU. Time for a look at traffic, and traffic is being brought to you on the half hour by the Illinois State Lottery. The overturned tractor-trailer truck is on the ramp to eastbound 270 at I-5570. There's also a report on 55 at Union of an object in the roadway, and it appears to be some shovel in the traffic lanes. Exercise caution until they get that out of the way. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and Highway 79 is slow going in pockets. It's stop and go on northbound 270 between Gravois and Marshall. On eastbound 44 between the Mirage Overpass and the Merrimack River Bridge, traffic is starting to get heavy. Traffic is now slow on Highway 40 between Woods Mill and Mason. Westbound 270 between West Florissant and New Florissant, you can expect some slight delays. On eastbound 70 between St. Charles Rock Road and Cypress, it's slow going out there. Westbound 270 between West Florissant and New Florissant, slow going. Slow traffic also reported on eastbound 70 between St. Charles Rock Road and Cypress. I think we mentioned that. There's also congestion reported on 40 at Brentwood Boulevard. Slow going on eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh. Slow going on westbound 40 between Ballast and 270. Downtown at the King Bridge between the gravel pit and the landing, it's slow. Slow traffic also on the Poplar Street Bridge between I-64 and the bridge, and between Ball Avenue and the Poplar Street Bridge, it's slow. So slow going in the downtown area at this hour. This report brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. The Illinois Lottery has 6 new instant games offering $200 million in total available prizes, plus a second chance drawing. Illinois Lottery, have a ball and play responsibly. WGNU News Time is 7:33. Taking a look at the WGNU weather forecast for this Tuesday, the 23rd day of May. Mostly sunny, with a chance for some showers developing this afternoon. The high right around 80 degrees. We have 57 degrees here at WGNU, and we'll get back to more of the morning wake-up call with Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz Brown, and she's coming back in just a moment.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to, and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Lynn with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the hosts of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one. We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
The St. George Home and School Association is holding a rummage sale on June 1st through the 3rd and on the 8th through the 10th. They will be offering a $3 a bag deal on Saturdays. The St. George Rummage Sale will take place at 133 West 4th Street in Herman, Missouri. News to you from Radio Free St. Louis.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
You got to change your evil ways, baby.
All right. I hope George Bush is listening. You got to change your evil ways. You got to do it differently. I just want to give you a quote from a philosopher. It says that when government is carried out properly, people feel close to the leadership, and they think little of dying for it. How many of y'all signing up to go over to Iraq? I guess not. When Brother Antonio, a.k.a. Motorcycle Man, was talking about this country and the gall that it has to sit in judgment on other nations, and he listed a number of things, a number of atrocities that this country was involved in, built on. But so often we forget what the very founders, the very early pioneers did to Native Americans. You know, a friend and I who, you know, looking very much into our Indian, she's looking into her Indian ancestry. And we talked about the Trail of Tears. It's disturbing, you know. And it's like, hey, sometimes people are projecting when they look at the wrong that others are doing, and they project in order that you don't look at the wrong that they have done and continue to do. Let's see what the Roosevelt Man has to say. Roosevelt Man.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Alderwoman, I just want to say... did you know that the governor, Matt Blunt, has now said he does not oppose stem cell research and would sign into law any bill allowing it? Up in Washington, Talent has said, I will not put my name on any bill to outlaw stem cell research, nor will I introduce such a bill. This is getting curiouser and curiouser, Alderwoman. And
Roosevelt, man, you think it has anything to do with the the coming election?
Oh,
do you think this has anything to do with political expediency?
Oh, November 7, some 6 months hence, you know it does. When they start dropping their pro-life stances, but then, you know, let's think of the last 40 years, and I'll be brief, since the Republican ascendancy started in 66. Much of it has been on white males' backlash against civil rights laws that were passed, and they have rode this horse for 40 years. The lower class, the middle class, angry white male has consistently preferred the Republican Party down the line on this issue, amongst others. I saw the Republican senator from Alabama, Sessions. He's extreme right wing, but he started telling the truth about how unskilled and semi-skilled the lower class, the poor, even parts of the middle class, wages are stagnant or have fell. Household income has fell the last 5 years, and the only reason he's telling the truth is that he is linking this to not giving citizenship to the Mexicans, the illegal Mexicans, and suddenly he's saying this is harming our own people here in the United States, and they are stagnating, and the masses don't feel like they're getting ahead. They're going backwards. And so, you know, let me close with this. You have right-wingers now talking like FDR. It's amazing. But I'll close with this, Alderwoman. History will say of this sordid regime, they appealed to the worst in the American people, and they brought out the worst in the American people, and there is no harsher judgment that history can ever render. Thank you very much, Alderwoman. Have a nice day and week.
Okay, you too, Roseville Man. Thanks for calling in. We're going to go to the phone lines. It looks like we have one of the hardworking organizers of the first African American Heritage Festival that was held at Forest Park Fairground. Good morning, Alderwoman.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm, you know, it's the sun is shining, and, you know, I'm up here talking to my peeps.
But I want to, I'm not trying to break the momentum that you have going on talking about Iraq and all of this.
Oh, we're talking about everything. Whatever anybody wants to talk about. We got one call, and I hope he holds on, that wants to talk about a protest by city workers tomorrow.
Oh.
Uh-oh. What y'all doing down there, Alderwoman?
Well, there's no ways to me.
Oh, you know, I know.
Quite interesting, believe me.
I'm sure Alderman Conway doesn't miss me.
Huh?
I'm sure Alderman Conway does not miss me.
Well, I know he probably is doing a little wishing of missing me.
Well, I knew you would take my place.
Well, I'm just trying to look out for what's right for all of the services and the people who perform those services and getting the just things that are entitled to them. I think that's very interesting how things are going. And yes, he is trying to get this bill in as fast as he possibly can.
Mm.
And I'm trying to make it down there as much as I possibly can, because we do have a meeting this morning.
I'm sure at 9 o'clock.
At 9 o'clock. But I wanted to call in, and I didn't get to do it yesterday because I was so exhausted from Sunday that I was listening to the station and then just passed out. I just fell asleep. So I was calling today to say thank you so much for all of the help that you and Liz have given regarding the African American Heritage Festival. And I can't say thank you enough for assisting in giving all the help that you did. So,
well, we just thank you, as we did on yesterday, Alderwoman, for you taking the initiative and listening to the people in your community who said, you know, we just can't go with this. You know, we just, let's do something different. You know, we love Animal on Home. And again, as I indicated on yesterday, I encourage people, if they have donations, send them to the Animal Long. We encourage people to do that, but at the same time, we also need to have some respect. And I just really applaud the hard work that you and I know how the brothers have put their names on something. and we want to thank them as well, Alderman Charles Quincy Troop and Bosley, but we want to thank you, Alderwoman.
Well, thank you so much, and again, I say thank you for all the help that you gave, because people were trying to, well, I'm not going to say people, I'm going to say the Annie Malone Parade Committee tried to get out here and give this credit.
Denise, is it possible for you to hold on for just a little bit? Because we're going to have to go to a break at this point. This is the Morning Wake-Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith. We'll be back with you after the break. Please stay tuned.
The Wake Up Call Global News Update will not be heard this morning at 7:45. The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences, with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours a week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. The recent hailstorm may have caused damage to your roof, but beware. When these types of events happen, people called storm chasers appear out of the blue and offer to do the work, but then disappear with your money and only half do the job. Phil Person of Phil Person Roofing reminds you he will be here to serve you long after the storm chasers have come and gone. Person Roofing is a licensed and certified contractor specializing in roof replacements and repairs, and replaces from 200 to 400 roofs a year. Phil Person Roofing, in business 16 years, 361-7127.
Hi, this is James Wakeman. I'm inviting you to get aboard the Glory Bound train. Every Saturday night, right here over radio station WGNU, traveling down track AM 920. Join us. You'll be glad you did.
The Glory Bound Train broadcast with James Wafer is heard every Saturday night at 7:30 right here on WGNU.
Can you still become a hero at work? Yes. Is it still easy? You bet. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner each week and deliver a basket of goodies to the winning workplace. You have to hurry, though. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees and family of WGNU Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNU Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Up-to-the-minute traffic updates can be heard at the top and the bottom of the hour during morning and afternoon drives. So if you need to know where to go, we'll tell you where to go right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. I learned at an early age that animals matter to me. That's why I founded Stray Rescue of St. Louis in 1991. I'll share my experiences, let you share your stories, and we'll discuss the issues that matter most to you when it comes to your companion animals. Dogs, cats, you name it. From behavior problems to breed-specific laws, from spaying and neutering your pet to keeping your friends safe and healthy, you'll hear from pet care experts, you'll enjoy our special guests as they share their tales and answer your questions, all on aspects of animal care. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun every week. Join me, Randy Grimm of Stray Rescue of St. Louis, as we share animal tales every Friday at 12 noon, right here on AM 920 WGNU, the station that discusses the issues that matter most to you and your animal companions. Woof.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
All right, we're back. We're going to go back. We were talking with Alderwoman Bernice Jones King from the 21st Ward about the first African American Heritage Festival that was held this Sunday.
Yes.
Yes, Alderwoman.
Okay. I just wanted to say again, thank you so much to you and Liz for all of the help that you have given. I can't say it enough. I want to also say there were lots of people who came out for the call and donated and supported and did all that they could possibly do. My two brothers, African-American Alderman Quincy Troop and Freeman Bosley were there for the call out on the charge. I mean, if it had not been for their assistance and all that they had done, I don't think we would have had such a successful day. Freeman with the boats, Freeman with just calling out to all of the people that helped with his Hyde Park Festival, came, gave help, assisted us in pulling off this festival. Quincy with making contact and giving the assistance for covering the cost that we needed for some of the media that was out there. The St. Louis Dream Center, the little bag donations that they made, the waters that they made available, the St. Louis Marketplace, all of the hot dogs and assisting with the buns, and the elected officials that came through and gave their donations, the Representative Amber Boykin, candidate Sean Sims, all of them donated and gave so that we can make sure that those children had an excellent time.
And I want to send a thank
and
you.
And you.
I want to send a thank you out to Monique Williams, who is works with in the PR for Vitamin Water. And she came out. We had her car loaded down, gave water to the firefighters. We gave water to North Newstead Association. We saw some of the candidates. We didn't want to seem like we were being partial to one. We gave everybody the water, and we're hopeful that they helped distribute it. And so it was just really, it was a family time. I just really enjoyed the atmosphere.
It was. It was a wonderful, warm atmosphere. And as I had been stating all the times when I had a chance to speak about it, I wanted it to be a family-oriented event.
And it was.
People enjoyed themselves in the park, had a very good time, and felt comfortable with being among those that were with the same type of feeling.
And let's not forget that the brothers with the horses and the sisters with the horses.
Goodness, I was shocked when I looked up. I mean, so many things that happened so fast.
I mean, it was just like they were just there. I mean, they were lined up.
Yes.
Along.
Yes.
And I was like, man, you know, this is like, because I did my morning drive out. But, Bernice, I want to try to get some more calls in before the top of the hour, and I want you to make sure you get to Ways and Means. So you have a good day,
all
and
right.
Thanks so very much.
And
I appreciate the initiative that you and the Alderman Troop and Alderman Bosley did with respect to that.
Well, tell them to look forward to seeing it next year again.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Protesting First Amendment right. Come on, city worker, tell me about this. Call back. We need to find out about the city workers' protest tomorrow. What the time, where, and what it's about. Mildred wants to talk about politics. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. You know, most politicians, when they talk about big government and small government, they're talking not in terms of philosophy or the Constitution. They're talking about money. And I don't see government as money-oriented at all. What I see in the Constitution, in its origins, is limited government. And it doesn't speak in terms of money either. And when I think of limited government, I think of the preamble to the Constitution. And I'd like to say something about that, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. To me, that does do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. This Constitution does not extend to Iraq and Afghanistan and other places that we assume that we own. It is for the people in this country, and when government is limited to this preamble, it is right. Unless it is limited to us, it is wrong. Thank you, Irene.
You're so welcome. You know, I can remember when I was like five, my uncle Sonny, who is deceased, he was killed when he was 21. He taught me the preamble to the Constitution when I was 5 years old. I knew the preamble to the Constitution. And I think what Mildred is saying is, you know, that's our Constitution. And we had the individuals in this country, the founding fathers, they had the self-determination to determine what this little patch of land called the United States of America, how we would be governed. And people in other countries have the same right to determine what type of government they want for themselves. And as she indicated, that's limited to the United States. Now, if others want to take the United States as an example, our governing process as an example, and they want to embrace it in their country, so be it. But they have a right to make that determination. Let's go to someone else that wants to talk about the parade. Good morning.
Good morning, Irene. This is Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks. It's good to hear you again. I called because of the parade. I noticed it was a beautiful thing. Anyway, the people that sponsored the parade, would it be possible for them to invite others from other states? Because I saw the Black Cowboys when they had their rodeo in Houston,
mm-hmm.
and it was absolutely beautiful. They brought their children, their wives, their pots, their pants, everything was on the back of their cell. They stayed in Houston for an entire weekend, like 4 or 5 days. It was beautiful because they had a parade down Westheimer Avenue. It was absolutely beautiful. But also...
You said they had a parade down where?
Westheimer Avenue, which is in Houston.
And where is that located? What part of
Houston?
Uh-huh.
It's down by the Hospital Row. We call it Hospital Row. I've forgotten the actual name of that section of town, but it's where the hospitals are. So
okay.
A whole row of hospitals down there. It's a long boulevard.
Okay.
And they came up there. But I also want to ask, is it possible for the parade people to start talking to those teenagers who don't want to be in the streets so they can attract the ones that are? Because we're losing our teenagers like flies.
And
it would be so beautiful
it would be very beautiful if it's back on Natural Bridge and they work with the people in the community,
right,
who have also worked to make the parade a success.
Right.
And I think
I'd like to see them include the teenagers in something special for next, I think it's nothing greater than an issue.
Kathy, I think that you sound like an excellent candidate to be on the board for Anna Malone.
Board of what?
The board for Anna Malone.
I worked in Anna Malone's baby house. I called it the baby house.
Uh-huh.
For about 3 months one summer. I really enjoyed it. But I don't know how you do that. I love working with children, period.
Uh-huh.
But I really want to talk about getting our teenagers out of the streets.
That's good. And if you listened yesterday, Bill Monroe said that he's going to be working with some brothers as well. But I want to try to get one more caller in before
the
top of the hour.
God bless you. And have a great one.
Okay, you too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good morning.
Hey, hello, Irene. I have one question in regards to the African Festival.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the festival, and I was just a little disturbed by the fact that, I guess, Natural Bridge was seen to be shut down in multiple directions, and no parking on Natural Bridge. And I was just trying to understand what was the reasoning behind that. Was that a request of the festival?
I think what happened is there was an overflow, because when I came in, if you can hold on, I'll talk with you after the break, okay?
Okay, sure.
Okay, hold on. This is the Liz Brown Show, yeah. The morning wake-up call. Hold on until after the news, okay?
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. The identity of all living veterans is at risk. More from ABC's Pam Coulter.
They serve to protect the national security, but the government dropped the ball in protecting the personal financial security of more than 26 million veterans. The theft of a computer disk containing their names, birth dates, and social security numbers means someone could open bank accounts, get credit cards, and even passports in their name.
The disk was stolen from the home of a Veterans Administration employee in Aspen Hill, Maryland. It contains the names, social security numbers, and birth dates of 26 million vets. The employee, who wasn't supposed to take that disk out of the office, is on leave. With the threat of another serious hurricane season looming, FEMA is making a promise it's ready.
We have between 2.5 to 4 times as many supplies this year pre-positioned. We have communications equipment we never had before. And maybe most important, we've been working very hard over the last 3 or 4 months with local authorities on building a better set of plans than we had last year.
Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff. Now, FEMA may be ready for whatever Mother Nature has to dish out, but the levees in New Orleans apparently aren't.
Oh, Maynard, you're being a good girl.
Maynard is a penguin. One of 19 that were rescued, along with 2 sea otters from a New Orleans aquarium after Hurricane Katrina. They've been living at a Monterey Bay enclosure since then. With great fanfare, they've been returned. Ron Foreman of the Audubon Institute.
The city's coming back.
Not quite. A New Orleans judge reportedly is releasing some defendants from jail because there are still too few attorneys or public defenders to represent them. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
And a new study says that the levee construction is not going nearly as well as it should have. It comes down especially hard on the Army Corps of Engineers, which is building the levees and rebuilding them. Fannie Mae could face fines up to $500 million, accused of cooking the books. This is ABC News.
If you're taking a pain reliever for your arthritis pain, you could be taking something that may interact with your prescriptions. The pure pain relief of Tylenol Arthritis Pain works all day. And when used as directed, has fewer drug interaction risks than the NSAID Aleve. Stop. Think. Tylenol works up to 8 hours. Take only as directed.
Aflac for Small Business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for Small Business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for Small Business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
Gentlemen and ladies, start your alternative fuel engines. Well, you probably won't hear that at the Indy 500 this weekend. The governor of Indiana is meeting with racing officials to push for the use of ethanol in the Hot Wheels in the future. Governor Evan Bayh says it's a great start.
A million Americans will look at the race on Sunday and say, you know what? If we can power the fastest race cars to winning the Indianapolis 500, we can do a better job of using ethanol for our vehicles we use every day, too.
Ethanol is a clean burning fuel that's made from corn and soybeans. Now, TiVo is great for watching TV, no more annoying commercials, but what about the people watching us watching TV?
With the TiVo comes the power to fast forward through the ads. Many people even wait to watch a show until a few minutes after it airs in order to zap the commercials. Nielsen, the dominant television ratings service, has started tracking DVR audiences differently. There are ratings for people who watch a show live, within 24 hours, or within a week.
ABC's Nancy Wiener. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
And this report of WGNU News is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news, famed dancer and part-time East St. Louis resident Catherine Dunham is being remembered as a legend. Sally Bliss, the executive director of Dance St. Louis and one of Dunham's former students, says Dunham will be remembered for her humanitarian work as well as her contributions to dance. Dunham passed away over the weekend at her New York apartment. She was the founder of the Dunham Dance Company, which was the first African-American modern dance company. Dunham has a star on the St. Louis Walk of Fame and a museum named after her in East St. Louis, as well as the Catherine Dunham Center for the Arts and Humanities at SIU Edwardsville. In other news, investigators are looking for the cause of a fire in Washington Park. It broke out shortly after 10 o'clock yesterday morning in a vacant house on 54th Street. One side of the house collapsed, but all of the firefighters were able to get out of the way. No injuries are reported in that fire. In St. Louis, a woman will be sentenced in August for fraud related to Hurricane Katrina relief. Andrea Golston pleaded guilty yesterday to stealing money from the U.S. government. Prosecutors say Golston used a false New Orleans address to file claims with FEMA for Katrina disaster relief. Her co-defendant, Charlisha Brooks, pleaded guilty to similar counts earlier this month and is awaiting sentencing. A Dublin, Ohio man is in custody in St. Louis. FBI agents arrested Roger Falconberry for conspiracy, securities fraud, mail fraud, wire fraud, and money laundering. Falconberry is one of seven people in the Southern District of Ohio in connection with an investigation of National Century Financial Enterprises. And finally, Missouri Senator Kit Bond wants to see the former head of the National Security Agency confirmed as the next head of the CIA. Bond was in St. Louis yesterday to urge his colleagues in the Senate to confirm General Michael Hayden by the end of this week. Bond says Americans want Congress and the President to do everything in their power to prevent another terrorist attack, and confirming General Hayden is part of that effort, says Senator Bond. That's a report of WGNU News brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. Play Illinois Lottery's Set for Life. Six new instant games, $200 million in total available prizes, plus a second chance drawing. Illinois Lottery. Have a ball. Play responsibly. I'm Peyton Colston reporting WGNU News.
And WGNU News time is now 8:06. Time for a look at traffic. This report being brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. There's congestion on Highway 40 between Clayton Worson and McKnight. Traffic is slow on Highway 40 between Spady and Lindbergh. Slow on Highway 40 between 270 and Mason. Heavy traffic on Highway 40 between the Science Center and Hanley. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit. Remember, the Broadway exit is closed because of construction work. Heavy traffic reported on Highway 40 between McKnight and Clayton. Slow traffic in the right lane on southbound 270 around Olive and I-64. Slow traffic on the King Bridge between the Gravel Pit and the Landing. 5570 between Exchange Avenue and the Poplar Street Bridge. Traffic going slow there. Also, I-64 between Baugh Avenue and the Poplar Street. Traffic is slow and heavy there. Northbound 3 between Monsanto and the Poplar Street Complex, stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 255 at the Jefferson Barracks Bridge, there is a maintenance operation going on. Traffic is slow about a half mile east of the river. Keep that in mind on your commute. Westbound 44 at the Gray Summit exit, that's closed due to construction work. You can detour to the I-44 interchange at Pacific or to the west of Gray Summit. The on-ramp to westbound I-44 is also closed. The roadway is reduced to one lane in both directions on Highway 61 at Interstate 70. This traffic report brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, does the corner repair shop use genuine Toyota parts? Well, your Toyota dealer does. And through July, if you visit participating Toyota dealers, you'll get an oil change and multi-point inspection for just $24.95 at any of your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. WGNU News Time is now 8:09, and the forecast for this Tuesday, the 23rd day of May, mostly sunny with a chance for some showers developing this afternoon, the high near 80 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight with a chance of showers, the low tonight in the mid-60s. For Wednesday, cloudy with a few showers and the high tomorrow in the mid-60s. We have 59 degrees here at WGNU. The time is 8:09, and we'll be getting back to more of the wake-up call with Irene J. Smith in just a moment.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920. WGNU discusses the issues that matter most to you every day. And if you have a relationship problem with a friend, coworker, or family member, it really matters to me. So call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA. Tune in every Monday through Friday afternoon from 2 until 4 and take on the day with me, Dr. Laura, on AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences, with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours a week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the wake-up call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
I remember my first love affair. Somehow or another, the whole darn thing went wrong. But my mama had some great advice, so I thought I'd put it in the words of this song. I can still hear her saying, boy,
boy, boy,
boy, I see you sitting out there all alone, crying your eyes out.
No sense in crying. You better wipe those tears away. You better say that song. Only the strong survive. Before we went to the top of the news, we were talking with Brother Dave about some concerns he had about the street shutting down along Natural Bridge at the Heritage Festival. So we're going to go back to him. Thank you for holding over.
Well, thank you for having me back. But just my question and concern was that the only thing that kind of gave me a little inference of kind of wondering what was going on. And I wasn't. I had my whole family in the car. We're ready to go to the park. And
what time was it?
I guess it was right around 3 o'clock, 3:30.
Well, they must have just shut it down because we parked on Natural Bridge. There was a 40-degree parking at most of the point along there.
Okay.
And then there was a session. But then people started apparently at 3:30 because I left at about 3:15.
Okay.
And apparently at 3:30, more and more traffic started coming. And I'm not exactly sure what time it was. There was also an accident, but I think that was later in the day. Later in the evening when a police car collided with a policeman on a motorcycle. So
yes,
I don't know I think that was later in the evening when that happened, actually. But that's what I suspect would happen. Because
okay.
Initially we were allowed to park on Natural Bridge.
And
yeah. In fact, got a very good parking spot, you know, people moving, you know, getting closer and moving around. So we were able to park, but we got there, of course, early.
Okay, so I guess this would be the first annual for hopefully many, many more.
Yes, we're hoping that it is, because I just loved the atmosphere. I really did.
Well, I'm sorry I missed out, but if it's done again, I think I'll get there a lot earlier.
Okay. Thanks for calling in.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. In a moment, we're going to get to some concerns that Brother Bill has about problem houses in the city. But before I do that, I like to always talk about some of the good things that are going on in the community. And certainly the African American Heritage Festival was a good thing that was going on in the community. But a lot of times on this station, you hear a lot of comments bashing police. And there's like a sweeping indictment that everybody that's in blue, oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes there's just this big old black eye, on the St. Louis Police Department and on police officers in general. And there are a lot of very good police officers out there. There are police officers that take their responsibilities very seriously. They live in our community, some that even, have moved, but many that live in our community take their responsibility toward community very seriously, even beyond the protecting and serve. And the serve part of it extends beyond keeping you and I safe, making sure that people who improperly park their cars or drive their cars are ticketed. But there are many police officers who donate a great deal of their time to helping out in our community. And I just want to talk about one particular police officer that I got to know during my last term on the Board of Aldermen. And this is Police Officer Michael Butler. Michael Butler, and I hope he's in the 7th, still in the 7th district. He lives, I believe, also in the 7th district. And I can recall when there was a shakeup once, how they just decided to move people around. The people from the 7th District, and many of them, it was started by somebody in the 1st Ward. You know how we are. We always stirring up stuff. And I believe it was Sister Gwen Pennington. She started collecting signatures. And now, you're not moving Officer Butler. He responds to us. He's involved in the community. He walks the community. He's knock on the door. But there is something that this brother does every year, this time of the year, with respect to our children. And he has personally started a program. We always want to call it program. It's really his love offering to our children at Hempstead School. And he's been doing it for many, many years. And what he does is he offers bicycles as an incentive to help our students get ahead. And Mike collects these bikes. Many of them, some of them are new. The majority of them are new. Some of them are refurbished. And he indicates, he was a poor kid, like most of us growing up. And he didn't get his first bike till he was 12. And, of course, it was a bike that he put together from used parts. And so he wanted to make sure that the children at Hempstead who are trying to do good, sometimes under some very adverse circumstances, that they are rewarded for their efforts. And in order for a child to qualify for a bike, he has to have good grades. He has to show improvement in his classroom performance from one report card to another. And he has to show citizenship. Now, we don't talk about what citizenship is, and I'm not talking about wrapping yourself in a flag and getting starry-eyed when you say the Star-Spangled Banner, but you wouldn't give your neighbor a helping hand. The children have to demonstrate citizenship by helping fellow students to learn and encouraging them to come to school as well. So I just want to send a shout-out to Police Officer Michael Butler of the St. Louis Police Department and say, Mike, we love you. We appreciate all that you do in the community. And we appreciate very much your efforts with respect to the students at Hempstead School. We thank you, brother. I know the countless times. I know a couple of times I've called you and you were off, and you managed to take your lunch break and time you had with your kids, your daughters, and check on things. And so we just want you to know that we appreciate you, and you are an example of why it is so important that members of the police force live in our community and are connected to our community. You know, so often we'll see police officers ride down the street, and even those individuals who are law-abiding citizens, they have frowns on their face, and it's almost as if though they are coming to the community like it's an occupied territory, you know. And so it's good to have police officers such as Officer Michael Butler, who's part of our community, and I hope that he's still living in our community. He was the last time I spoke with him, and I just want to say a shout out to you, brother. We appreciate all that you do in serving and protecting our community. Brother Bill, good morning.
Good morning, sister. Yeah, I spoke to you yesterday about nuisance houses, and I felt the need that to transmit this information. I've heard it mentioned on the program before, but I think our community need to know that they can be empowered to do something about. And when I say nuisance houses, if you have a house in your community where drug dealing is going on and all type of illicit activities, which serve to hurt a community, you can do something about it. And I also want to applaud some members of the St. Louis police officers, primarily in the 7th district, and I've asked for some assistance. And one of the primary corners is I'm in battle with is Union and Page, Union and Maple, in that area is where these heroin dealers are setting up shop as if it was an open air supermarket. So And one can do something about it. And I left my email address yesterday, and I'd like to leave it again. And what I'm looking at, I'd like for the concerned brothers in the community, and I'm asking for the brothers. Your sisters are so occupied and do so many fine things. I'm looking for the concerned brothers to come forward. We're partnering with the brothers from the Nation of Islam and pushing the Me and More movement. And we're going to be targeting street corners, and I'm asking the brothers to bring one piece of equipment as they come, and we're going to have some signs, but bring a flashlight with you so we can shine the light on some of these dealers, drug dealers, and these thieves that kill a corner.
You know, Brother Bill, one of the things that the people who lived over on Chippewa, I had some students in my class when I was teaching criminal law and procedure at Forest Park, and the young woman talked about how they had a problem with prostitution over there.
Mm-hmm.
And so what the neighbors simply did is every time the prostitutes would come, the neighbors would simply come out at night with their flashlights. They wouldn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
They would just start shining their flashlights
mm-hmm.
on the prostitutes and, of course, on the individuals who were interested in the services
mm-hmm.
of the prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, it moved. And, of
mm-hmm.
course, we know that when it moves on to somewhere else. But it's like, You get to the point where you say, not on my block.
Right, absolutely. But, you know, when it moves to other locations, and those people in those areas have to be prepared to do battle with them also.
Exactly. And you know what's interesting to me, and it's throughout the country, you know, in different parts of the country. You say, now, if I know it and you know it, that it's like an open-air market, then why isn't the police department shutting
down? Well, let me say this to you. Each time, and I make it, and I don't advise everybody to do this, but when I'll pull my car up on the corner where these drug dealers are, and I'll get out and I'll call the police on my cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
I'll wait till the police get there, and I'll point these drug dealers out to the police
mm-hmm.
so they know I'm actively seeking their removal. I don't advise everybody to do that.
I understand, Bill, and I'm not even talking about that. I'm saying that, say for an example, there's an area over by Auburn, and this, I'm just picking Auburn because it just came to mind. There
mm-hmm.
are several other areas,
mm-hmm.
and it's an open-air market. Now, if I know that, and you know that, and everybody else in the neighborhood knows that, why is it still an open-air market?
Well,
you know, we hear that certain areas there is an understanding or an agreement with certain members in the police department that they can deal drugs in those areas without with immunity. And that's very troubling to some people. And when they see that, that is why people are very reluctant to get involved.
Well, I think that one must get involved. And like I said, let me give my email address. William, W-I-L-L-I-A-M, underscore Monroe, M-O-N-R-O-E, at sbcglobal.net. And what we're going to be doing, as I said, we're going to be targeting these areas. We're going to be asking the police to support us, and they're going to be policemen in our bunch. And we hope to have several hundred men to come together on any given date. And those of you that have these problem areas, identify them to us, and we're going to be visiting, and we're going to be high profile. But there's another part to this, too. We're also going to be seeking some solutions for some employment issues
exactly.
regarding some of the people that can't get jobs. So...
It's a very holistic approach,
yes.
And brother, I certainly wish you well.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Good morning, Andre.
Good morning, Irene. How are you doing?
I'm great. The sun is shining.
It is a beautiful day.
It's beautiful.
You know, what I wanted to talk about was some of the comments that I heard yesterday morning.
Okay.
They were really rather disturbing to me.
Okay.
They were interesting, but it's disturbing at the same time because so much of what we need to do, we do have the power to do, and it does come from self. That's understood. But at the same time, I'm really disturbed hearing the way that so many of us, and I know it's not the majority, I'm not even trying to suggest that, but so many of us seem to cross the line from constructive criticism to really what I would call self-loathing.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be careful about that. We need to be careful about indicting one another without really understanding situations and how they develop. We need to understand that these situations don't come about in vacuums. There's nothing that happens to black folks in this country willy-nilly. There's nothing that's by accident. And we ought to also keep in mind how it is that, for example, I heard brothers talking about how so many brothers aren't really up on their job as men. Well, that's true. But at the same time, remember, when you have a son, as I told my sister, when you have a son, you are in the process of training somebody whom one day probably will be somebody else's husband. If you have a daughter,
somebody's father.
Yes. If you have a daughter, you're probably training somebody who someday will be a mother, someone's wife. If you are so tired, sick and tired of seeing black men not be men, you make sure you turn your child into one.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times we are really not setting the right example from the beginning at home. And we can't blame society or say that they're all no good when we're not looking at self.
Exactly.
I'm so tired of hearing people indicting a whole generation and saying how worthless they are, basically. I mean, nobody used that word, but that's basically what they were saying. If you are talking about how worthless your grandchild is, well, then you're talking about yourself as a grandparent.
Mm-hmm. Because as a grandparent, you have a responsibility to guide and direct.
Yes,
you
do.
It was interesting. A friend of mine who is from Nigeria, and his mom and dad come every year, and they spend time with the grandchildren. It was so important to his father because he has two boys.
Mm-hmm.
It was so important for his father to be there as a grandparent, as a grandfather, to teach them certain things and to give them instructions on certain things and to give them family history and to instill pride into them. And that's why I told them it's a joint responsibility.
Of course it
is. And when
we
indict them, we are indicting ourselves at the same time.
You cannot divorce yourself basically from yourself. Well, that's psychosis. And so many of us are not clicking into that somehow. I am so tired of hearing sisters complain about how how lazy no account brothers are. Well, if you are in a relationship with a lazy no account man, what does that say about you? You putting up with it every day.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say about you? And if you are in a relationship with a woman who is trifling, what does that say about you? And first of all, what gives you the appraisal power over another person anyway?
Mm-hmm.
We need to talk about that.
Oh yeah, that's another whole issue. But it's a joint responsibility.
Of course it is.
I mean, I understand the frustration.
I do too.
Particularly from talking to older African-American men, and I'm just saying this is because that's who I normally talk to, not that I don't talk to Caucasians, but about this particular subject,
right.
When they knew that they had to work for little or nothing,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes putting one, two, three jobs together to make it for their families, and they see brothers who say, I ain't gonna work for that little bit amount of money, you know, I ain't gonna work for that little bit amount of money. And it's very disturbing to them. But at the same time, that's not all of our men.
No, it's not.
And it's not all of our women.
And we need to look at things in context, too. Yes, there was a time when people were working for a minimum wage of 75 cents an hour. But at that same time, bread didn't cost a dollar and a half a loaf either.
That's true.
Your rent was not $500 a month either.
Yeah,
I remember when rent was $50 a month.
I understand. I don't have
and
to go.
And it was hard as hell to come up with the $50.
Okay, brother. Thanks for calling in. We're at the bottom of the hour. This is the Liz Brown Show, the Morning Wake Up Call. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. We'll be back with you after the break. Stay tuned.
To get up, you need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
314-454-0400 1-877-920-WGNU. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU.
And good morning. The time is 8:30 here at WGNU. Time for a look at traffic on the half hour. And traffic this half hour is being brought to you by the Missouri Department of Transportation. And speaking of transportation, we have the following traffic information to give you at this time. I-5570 at 270. The overturned tractor trailer is on the ramp to eastbound 70, but right now there are no problems with traffic getting by. That's an overturned tractor trailer on the ramp to eastbound 270 at I-5570. There's a disabled vehicle blocking the left shoulder on northbound 55 at Richardson Road. Watch for that. Eastbound 70 between Highway K and 79's, traffic is slow in pockets. Slow traffic also reported northbound on 270 between Gravois and 44. Slow traffic in the right lane on eastbound 44 between the Merrimack River Bridge and I-270. Traffic starting to thin out now on 40 between Woods Mill and Mason. Traffic is also getting better on westbound 270 between 367 and West Florissant up in North County. Slow traffic reported on eastbound 70 at McKelvey. Traffic getting back to normal on Highway 40 between Brentwood and Hanley. Slow traffic reported on Highway 40 between Spady and Lindbergh. Slow traffic also on 40 between 270 and Mason. Heavy traffic on Highway 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley. And don't forget the last Missouri exit at Broadway is closed due to bridge construction work. And speaking of the bridges downtown, traffic normal on the King Bridge. Traffic getting better on Highway 5570 between 3 and the Poplar Street Bridge, and no problems to report on the bridge at this time. Traffic brought to you by MoDOT's I-44 Travel Safe Partnership. Remember, I-44 from Highway 109 west to Pacific is a travel safe zone, due to construction. You need to buckle up. Pay attention and slow down because they're giving out tickets in the 44 safe zone because MoDOT wants you to arrive alive. The WGNU weather forecast for your Tuesday calls for sunny skies with a chance for some showers later this afternoon, the high near 80. Tonight, partly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms developing, the overnight low in the mid-60s. for Wednesday. Partly sunny with some showers and thunderstorms in the morning, then redeveloping during the afternoon hours, the high tomorrow in the mid-80s. Currently 60 degrees here at the studios of WGNU. And we'll be getting back to more of the wake-up call with Irene J. Smith, who's sitting in for Liz Brown this week, and she'll be back with you in just a moment.
Hi, this is Jenny Peterson. I show up now and then on my favorite radio station, WGNU. I hope you'll be there, too. We'll let you know when I'll be on. Keep listening.
And Jenny Peterson will be here this morning at 10 o'clock following Irene.
Dear Dad,
now it is possible to send an e-card to someone special in the military or a veteran for free.
I hurt my leg riding my bike.
Just log on to thankyouveterans.org.
Got you a gift for your birthday.
And write a personal message. Let someone you know how much you care. Visit thankyouveterans.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Hi, this is Lizbeth Tanz, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air program. Each Friday, my co-host Connie Mitchell and I explore the world of writing and interview local and not-so-local authors. We discuss relevant, timely, and occasionally controversial subjects, so come hear just what it takes to write a book and learn something new along with us. Who knows? You might find a new favorite author. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays from 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Up in here, just a little this, a little that, you know, just take me back, hold me tight. Oh, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it. Let's hear what Opinion 827 has to say.
Yeah, I'd like to say, I was thinking about what Liz say all the time, we need to buy black in the black community. I also think about the services that we people have provided out here, especially services like real estate. Our people tend to think that, you know, it's okay to go and buy real estate and they go for the first white realtor. But I like to let people know that white people have they deliberately don't use a lot of black realtors. They make a conscious effort to go and buy from whites. Blacks, we need to do the same thing. We need to make a conscious effort. When we go to the stores to use a black salesperson, we need to make a conscious effort when it comes to buying real estate to search out a black realtor. They're out there. They're out there, and a lot of them are trying their best to give you the best deal and help you learn the process as well as, selling you a home.
They want to educate you.
Right.
As well.
No.
I think that your point is so very, very well taken. I mean, there are a lot of qualified African-American realtors.
Yes. Yes.
That are doing it. I mean, it's a sister, you know, we meet at the pie often, Sister Jamila Shabazz, another sister, I call her skating queen sister, that's a realtor, and right now I'm drawing a blank on her name, but she's a realtor, you know, and she was out in the park at the first African-American Heritage Festival.
Right.
So there are...
Mothers. Name.
Huh?
Mary Smothers.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Skater.
Right, the skater. Beautiful sister. I mean, just trying to educate. She went into this, you know. She's trying to educate. So give our people an opportunity. It's something that disturbs me.
Right.
You'll have people that their response to what you're saying is, they'll say, well, you know, I used this black lady realtor, and she messed me around. And I'm saying, hold up. Why don't you just say her, the name of the person that messed you around?
Right.
Do not make a sweeping indictment
right.
of everybody. I said, when there is a Caucasian person that does work on your property and that person gives you a bad job or doesn't finish the job,
right.
you don't indict all right. white contractors.
Right.
I said, you need to...
them. You go and find them.
You go and find somebody else. So
right.
do the same thing and give your people the exact same benefit
right.
of the situation. Sister, can you speak up just a little bit?
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's okay. But your point is very well taken. I want to kind of move on because
okay.
the boards are totally lit up this morning. Thank you so
Thank
much
you.
For calling. Your point is so very well taken. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm fine.
That's good. What's going on over in the second ward?
Well, there's a public meeting that is going to have the alderwoman, the buildings commissioner.
So that would be Dion Flowers?
Yes, alderwoman Dion Flowers, the building commissioner and the LRA director are supposed to be present at the public meeting on Tuesday, May 30th. At 7 o'clock, it's churches, it's two churches, Our Lady of Guadalupe, of the Holy Cross and Trinity Full Gospel, that are uniting with the neighborhood associations to take a stand and take their neighborhood back.
Okay.
And that's at 7 o'clock on Tuesday evening, May 30th at Our Lady of Holy Cross in the gym.
Now, you know, May 30th is a great day. That's
yes, it is.
Great...
It's your birthday.
Yes, it is.
So we're going to start your birthday celebration by fighting for justice and equality.
Okay.
And we're
going
to talk
good.
About the housing circumstance over there with all the burned down and the trashy-looking houses over there, and people are tired of that.
Okay. Now, this is – tell us again where it's located.
It's at 8115 Church Road. It's the big Catholic church with the big steeple on top at Church Road in Baton. And it's in the gym, which is in the back of the church.
That's Holy Cross Church, isn't it?
Yes. Our Lady of the Holy Cross.
Okay, now, you listening, those of you in the listening audience who have been talking about the first ward, some of you have complained about being able to get in contact with your alderwoman. She is going to be at this meeting. She's concerned enough to at least make a commitment to appear at this meeting, and this meeting is on Tuesday, May the 30th at 7 p.m. at Holy Cross Church. That's at 8115 Church Road, right at Baton. It's church, it's a street Baton. It's in Baton, but it's also a street Baton. Baton and Church Road. You can't miss it. It's the big steeple. Just follow the steeple. Get there. You'll get an opportunity to talk to your alderwoman, the LRA, and I know you have something to say to LRA, and the building commissioner, has been invited, and hopefully is really the acting building commissioner, because that's another whole subject that we could talk about, but I won't go into that at this time. I'm going to go to Alfred, who wants to talk about the Anna Malone Parade. How?
Hi, I don't want to express my opinion about the Anna Malone Parade.
Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, they haven't had anybody called in talking about the downtown. How was that? Was it successful?
They had people yesterday. We talked about it yesterday to call in.
Okay.
Well, basically, yesterday individuals called in and said that, the parade went on. It was not as many people as
yes.
normally attend.
That part. I listened to you off and on yesterday.
Right.
Let me make my express my opinion.
Okay, go right
okay.
ahead.
For years, the Annie Malone, the way I see it, for years the Annie Malone people been performing this parade on this Sunday. And for the last 15, 20 years, they've been having killings, cuttings, and everything. And
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, I don't think what you're saying is accurate. There have been some instances of violence after the parade, not exactly at the parade site.
But in the area.
In the area.
Yes.
And there have also been killings every other day in the area well. And that wouldn't be attributable to me walking down the street, so it shouldn't necessarily be attributable to the parade as well.
Okay. Well, like I said, it's my opinion.
I understand, but sometimes opinion is certainly what you feel. But since we're talking about something and you're giving out something that's almost said as a fact,
right.
I'm gonna dispute it because when I walked down the street the other day, I walked past Natural Bridge and Clay, okay? And last night there was a killing over there. Was it attributable to the fact that I walked over there yesterday?
No, no.
Okay, and so that's my point. But anyway, brother, I'm sorry.
Oh,
let
right.
you finish your
I
point.
Mean, I want you to, you know, give me your opinion. Okay, these people been doing good, and they decided to move it because they thought that it was too much violence.
Okay, these people, that's not what they said, though.
Okay, well.
They said they were moving it because they wanted to make the... Wait a minute, you said these people decided to move it, okay? They said that they moved it because they wanted it to be more accessible.
Yes,
more accessible. That's what they said.
Okay, then. Well, I read something different than you read, okay?
Well, every time the guy came on the radio, and that's what he said.
Okay.
At the hearing at the Board of Aldermen, that's what he said.
Okay.
All
right. let me go on a little further. Okay, now, why do politicians decide to have something else that same day?
Because they have a right to.
Okay, yeah, I know they have a right to, yeah.
And did you know that when the parade was going on down Natural Bridge, that the Animal Loan Home would always write those aldermen and ask for permission so that they could get the parade permit?
Yeah.
But when they made the decision to change the parade, they didn't even give them the respect to let them know about the change in the parade. Nor to me, the community, because the parade is only successful. People only pay to have a float in the parade, a car in the parade, when there are a lot of people there. And the people who are coming, some of them may have been disruptive, and that happens. It happens down at Busch Stadium at the baseball game that we don't hear about. You know, but I heard about it because I was on the bench and many of those people came before me. But it's successful because people from the community came out to the parade. And Animal Loan had a right to change it. Their board made the decision and they changed it. And the people had a right to feel disappointed in it and to show their disappointment in a very, I think, very respectful way.
Well, I just think they should have had it maybe two Sundays, the Sunday before the Sunday after.
I think they should have had it exactly when they had it.
Yeah, well, you know, see, that's, you know, my opinion about that is, when some people is doing...
Kate, I want to continue this discussion with you.
Okay.
But we're at a break time, so can you hold on for me?
Updates can be heard at the top and the bottom of the hour during morning and afternoon drives. So if you need to know where to go, we'll tell you where to go. Right here on AM 920 WGNU.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
Looking for great tires and great deals? Then look for Uniroyal Value Days, going on now through June 10th. Make your money go further on the longest-wearing Uniroyal tires ever. Tiger Paw Touring for cars and Laredo Cross Country for SUVs and pickups. Durable, dependable, and best of all, affordable. Uniroyal Value Days. Great tires, great deals. Going on now at Auto Tire Car Care Center. Uniroyal, for everything you value.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger. Listen to me Wednesday, May 24th, when my guest will be Dr. Charles Willey of ESSA Health, St. Louis-based physician group since 1996. We'll be talking about Medicare Part D. Have you missed the deadline? What do you do now? That's the Sloan Ranger Show, Wednesday, May 24th at 5 o'clock, only on WGNU.
voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
One of the greats. We're going to go back to the brother. I'm going to let him have his say. Thank you for holding over.
Okay. Yes. I enjoy talking to you. You know, you let people express their opinion, whether you agree with it or not, you know. But I just think they should have had it a week before or a week after.
All right.
And I think that they should, you know, I got an old saying, you know, either lead, follow, get the hell out the way.
That's right. And they led.
Huh?
They led. They led folks that was disappointed in what the Animal Loan home did, and they led them over to the park, and they had a good time.
Yeah, but the Animal Loan got a history of doing good for this community.
But that the goodness that Animal Loan does is not by itself. It was as a result of the community's support for their efforts. It wasn't that the board. I mean, it's not. It's just like they said, the board. It belongs to the community, and there were people in the community. And that's sometimes we need to. They could have did a lot of things. They could have went to the parade. They could have protested, but they decided to do something positive. So the fact that there were other events that are held on Animal Loan Day, Parade Day.
Okay.
I mean, I understand what you're saying. I heard a whole lot of people that was real upset at folks for having the African American Heritage Festival on the same day as the May Day Parade. But look, people made a decision to move something outside of the community down Market Avenue. They have a right to do that, okay?
Yeah.
And the people had a right to feel betrayed as a result of doing that. And they had a right to have an alternative. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I just don't look at it that way.
Well, you know, something else I'm looking on. I don't want to put no bad word on the committee, you know, because everything that goes on in the community is good, you know, for us, you know. But, another thing was jumping in my mind. I remember another radio station used to have a deal at that park. I think you might remember. This was years ago. And they had to cut it out because there was too much trouble in there, and I hope that this.
I mean, they had Afro Day in the park, but they did. There was some lack of planning for it. That would deal. I mean, because basically what you're saying, there's an under. You know, it's kind of tinging in what you're saying.
Yeah,
it's
you know what I'm talking.
Wherever we are, there's trouble. Yeah. I mean, and the fact of the matter is, and I can tell you from being a city court judge, that all kind of nasty things happen at the ballpark after the game that is not publicized in the paper. So wherever you have large crowds, you have some folks that are going to act the fool. That's part of it.
Yeah, I like I said, I'm just expecting.
I understand, and you love Animal Loan, and I do too.
And I
got a little money. I'm going to send it over there to them,
yeah,
you know,
to
say, even though I disagree with what they did.
And I
made my decision about where I wanted to be. I was over at the Heritage Festival, and I loved it.
Yeah, I just think that the Heritage Festival should be 1 week before, 1 week after.
No, I think it should be exactly the same day. Anyway, I love you, brother. Take care. Have a good day. Since we're on this subject, I'm gonna get to this other subject. I'm gonna let this person voice their opinion, and I'm gonna move on to Brother Ike.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Robin.
Hey, Robin.
How you doing, Miss Smith?
I'm fine.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, 100%.
Not everybody does, but I appreciate the support, sister.
The festival should have been held the exact day it was held on. And I have three children that play in the band for Vashon High School.
Uh-huh.
And I told my kids, I'm not coming to watch y'all today. And they understood. You know, but
children really did, because I talked through, you know, we were like, she was talking to me and her grandmother. I was on the phone, and she was like, it wasn't the same. I got a feeling that
exactly.
They're going to be back on Natural Bridge. I mean, and some people like to go to parade where they have arm room,
right.
You know, and they had arm room down on Market.
Plenty of arm room.
They had arm room down on Market, and maybe, you know, some people like to come. I mean, it's a lot of different reasons. We are not...
trying to be bitter or anything like that, but
don't be bitter. We just have an alternative. We had an alternative
because we have, you know, we have, like the gentleman that was just on the phone. you know, he sounds like he's a, you know, a elderly person. I'm not to say old, but, you know, he's in his age. You've got
he sounded like he was about my age. He didn't sound at that.
Transportation to get down on Market.
He sounded like he was about my age.
Because I'm 42, you my age. So
no, see, I'll be 10 years older than you, as a matter of fact, a week from the day.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I'm 42, and I've got a daughter that graduated from Bashan Saturday with an UMSL scholarship.
All right.
You know, very proud of her. And I'm proud of all of my children, and I'm very proud of the Annie Malone, you know, as a institution.
As an institution. And, I mean, I'm very proud of the fact that they started the parade. I believe this was the 118th anniversary of the parade. And I just have so many warm childhood memories.
Of the parade.
Of the parade.
People haven't seen in a long time, you know.
And going to see my great aunt. Who's still living
kids,
over,
you know,
in the Ville.
To high school with. God,
yeah.
You know, grade school, everything. It's about community. It's about, it's a warm feeling, just like the festival was Sunday, which I did attend. You know, it's just, it's ours. It belongs to us.
It was good. I enjoyed it. And again, I thank the organizers for it. Thanks for calling in.
Thank
here.
You, Ms. Smith. You have
All
a
right.
good day. Bye-bye.
We're going to change the subject just for a little bit because brother has been holding on for a minute. And I'm going to get back to the other callers. Talk to me, Ike. Hello?
Hey, how you doing, Irene?
Okay.
This is Ike. How you doing?
I'm good, brother. Come on, talk with us.
I've been hearing all these people arguing.
It's just a
it's
difference
really,
of it. You know, you know how we are. We are very strong-willed.
And
then people have their strong opinions, and we
that's
just have
right,
to be
yeah.
respectful of those opinions and try to understand their viewpoint, even
that's,
if we disagree.
Right. You got to be in a little horizon. Sometimes our horizons don't go as far as they said. But, you know, we back in the day, you know, the Veil Prophet and the mother would make stuff, and we would go to the parade. And sometimes walk there, you know. And I live downtown, as I tell you.
Yeah, I remember Goldwater, seeing Goldwater at a parade,
right.
at a Veil Prophet parade. That's when the parade was in October,
that's
I believe.
Right, it was. And I went to a lot of them, you know, when I was just small, and my dad would take us, and I'd get on my daddy's shoulders, you know, and look at the parade, you know, standing on the side there.
Mm-hmm.
But things change, but I called about first is a. The drug problem, when Bill Romero called in, it's an epidemic. It is something. It's destroying families. To me, my uncle always used? It's an infirmity. It's just really pitiful. And then that's all they know is the black minds. And like he said, to get some of the minds turned around, you got to get rid of drugs, get them to see that, hey, all this is an early grave to the dirt farm or incarcerated. There's enough of us going there. They fighting for this young brother, Reggie Clemens, you know, and I went over to see them all in Gray's body. And when I looked down the coffin, you know what I saw right away to myself? Is this brother dead for the wrong reasons? You know what I'm saying? He didn't have allowed the time to get, hey, I say justice because of so much stuff was tampered with, and I saw him on TV talking. It was a sad time for me, and I said, I don't want to see another brother executed in a casket. Me and Ron Jones grew up together, real good friends. But, I mean, this is what people understand. But now people just mad about the Veil Prophet because it was right in their door, it's convenient. That's what they're looking at. But I look at it much
the May Day Parade.
That's all
not the Veil Prophet.
I'm not Veil Prophet. I said the May Day Parade.
Okay.
They just, everybody's been there so long, but a whole lot has changed. And you got to change with the times.
Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't.
Well, you know me, but there's some people.
And what is change? I mean, there could have been some changes made. I mean, to me, I'm going to tell you this, you know. I didn't like the fact that it got to the point that there were more cars in the parade, and I know it's a fundraiser, than there were marching bands, you know. And the sister called in Muslim sister called in, and she suggested that, why don't you all invite other marching bands from other, I mean, it was a good idea. But all too often, we just so quickly remove things from our community. And that parade was successful because our people, and people don't like to say it, but the reality of the situation is because black people came out in droves to attend it.
And so it was success. It was success to me, you know. And I didn't go, you know, and I didn't get mad when they changed it because
it's not about getting mad.
I stopped going to May parades a long time ago.
It's not about getting mad.
I get mad.
Some people did get mad, but somebody rather than cars, go be disrupted or whatever. At that parade, they decided to do something different.
I wonder if we was having a potluck that day and said, let's go vote on the parade. Everybody be there over on Malone Drive at a potluck. You know?
All I say is this. The potluck would be really beautiful, but I say for those of us who went to the parade and they watched the parade.
Right.
I would encourage those individuals, as well as those of us who didn't, I would encourage all of us to send a check to the Anna Malone Parade. Say, I protested, write on your check, I protested the parade, I don't like you moving it, but I love the home. And I love what you're doing for children in our community.
Well, you know, because I moved out west, a lot of kids graduated from Turner School there where mm-hmm.
They're right there. They went to Turner. They went to the...
They went to all kinds of school. Some of them went to Catholic school.
Of course they did.
St. Matthew's, where my cousins went, because I lived in Deville. And when I left there, I finished up the summer and I went into the Marine Corps.
All right.
Vietnam. But I'm just saying, a lot of people need to understand that, hey, you know, you shouldn't blow and you don't know, but a lot of them, they run their mouth, but they don't want to contribute none either.
That's right. That's right.
Like Miss Billy Burke, she was there for a long time.
Oh, forever.
Her grandson got it now, Vic. She's still there. He's still there.
All right.
And her brother stays just as good.
All right. We're at the top of the hour.
All right, then.
Thanks for calling in. Hey, it's almost news time. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who's on jury duty. We'll be back with you. Listen to the man.
This is a man's world.
It's a man's world, James Brown. Ouch.
But it would be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl. Nothing would be nothing. You see, man made the car to take us over the road. Man made the train to carry the heavy load. Man made the electrolyte.
The issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
TNT is heading to court. The telecommunications giant is accused of giving the feds records of customers' calls and the ability to look into every email they send. ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey.
Every individual message on the internet is susceptible to government examination with the help of AT&T, according to court documents reported by the Wall Street Journal and the online site Wired.com. The Journal reports a former AT&T technician alleges the phone company installed a secret room with special hardware in its San Francisco office to allow the NSA to tap into AT&T's WorldNet service as well as the entire Internet. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
The identity of every living American veteran's at risk. Their names, social security numbers, and birth dates may have been on a computer disk that was stolen from the Maryland home of a VA employee. Some veterans, including Massachusetts Senator John Kerry, are calling for heads to roll over the security breach. For years, the VA's inspector general has criticized the department for lax information security. Now the VA's planning new background checks for people with access to sensitive information, but it's a little late for the millions of vets whose privacy has been compromised. ABC's Pam Coulter. A big change today at ABC News.
This morning, it takes a thing.
Charles Gibson has been called one of the most distinguished journalists on television. On Monday, he becomes the sole anchor of the ABC News broadcast World News Tonight. Gibson will continue to co-anchor Good Morning America until June 30th. He replaces Elizabeth Vargas, who is going on maternity leave, and Bob Woodruff, whose accident in Iraq has kept him off the air. In an email to ABC News staff, President David Weston called Gibson an anchor in the truest sense of the word. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
ABC News Money Scope. The Dow is up 44 points, the Nasdaq ahead 15. This is ABC News.
If you're taking a pain reliever for your arthritis pain, you could be taking something that may interact with your prescriptions. The pure pain relief of Tylenol Arthritis Pain works all day. And when used as directed, has fewer drug interaction risks than the NSAID Aleve. Stop. Think. Tylenol Arthritis Pain. Works up to 8 hours. Take only as directed.
Aflac for Small Business, how can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my, my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to AflacSB.com. Aflac for small business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
It could be another tough hurricane season, and FEMA says it's ready with up to four times more supplies than it had last year. But Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff says the government can't do it alone.
People do have to have stocks of food and water and emergency medical supplies to sustain themselves. They also have to be able to get out of town and listen to instructions when they're told it's time to evacuate.
Hurricane season begins next Thursday, June 1st. It's been 3 years since the Dixie Chicks stunned country music when lead singer Natalie Maines criticized President Bush during a concert. Fiddle player Marty McGuire says the whole thing's been blown way out of proportion.
And then when I think back to what she said, she's ashamed our president's from Texas. It's like, womp, womp. Okay. Where's the hoopla? How does that make somebody so angry?
Well, Maines even received a few death threats from that comment. The group is now back with a new album in which they take on the critics. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
And a couple of items in from the WGNU newsroom at this hour. A man is hospitalized in serious condition after being rescued from a burning home in South St. Louis earlier this morning. Emergency crews had to perform CPR on the victim after he was pulled from the house along the 3700 block of Delore. A firefighter also injured his knee in that blaze. And from the east side, charges will not be filed against an elderly woman who fatally shot a man during an attempted home invasion in East St. Louis. The state's attorney's office says that the 87-year-old homeowner was justified in her use of deadly force. Authorities say the woman fired shots through the front door of her home along the 2100 block of Gady in the early morning hours of February the 7th. The accused intruder, Larry Tillman, died at the scene. And now with more on today's local news, here's Peyton Colston.
Here's a WGNU news update brought to you by Accountemps. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. In the news, Illinois Senators Dick Durbin and Barack Obama are calling for free credit monitoring for veterans whose information has been stolen. The senators sent a letter yesterday to Veterans Affairs Secretary James Nicholson in response to reports that data on more than 26 million veterans had been stolen from the home of a VA employee. Durbin and Obama say the VA needs to move quickly to protect potential identity theft victims. In St. Charles, the U.S. Air Force has now taken possession of its newest precision weapon. The first small-diameter bombs were rolled out yesterday at the Boeing Weapons Facility in St. Charles. Dan Jaspering, the SDB program manager for Boeing, says the Air Force is investing $1.2 billion for production of the system. The weapons system, which includes a four-bomb capacity carriage, is compatible with every U.S. fighter and bomber aircraft. It will be deployed first on the Boeing F-15E Strike Eagle later this year. In St. Clair County, residents can call a new hotline for information on air quality. Callers can receive current information on air quality and a forecast for the next day. You're encouraged to carpool, refuel your car after dusk, and conserve energy at home to help improve air quality. For more information, call St. Clair County's Clean Air Hotline. That's 618-257-6265. And finally for this hour, one local social service organization is urging people to take stock of their lives during National Mental Health Month in May. Yolanda Rogers, a spokesperson for Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri, says people need to realize if they don't take care of the little things, those little things can escalate into bigger emotional problems. She says people need to listen to themselves and seek help if they think they need it. The theme of this year's National Mental Health Month is Mind Your Health. And that's a report of WGNU News brought to you by Accountemps, providing highly skilled financial temporary professionals for over 58 years. Call or visit them at Accountemps.com. I'm Peyton Colston reporting for WGNU News.
And good morning. WGNU News time is 9:07. Time for our final look at traffic on this Tuesday morning. And traffic this hour being brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. At I-270 and 5570, the overturned tractor-trailer truck is still on the eastbound ramp to 270, but traffic is getting by without too much difficulty. Traffic is on the go on northbound 270 around I-44. Normal traffic reported now on 270 between 367 and West Florissant in North County. The last Missouri exit on the Missouri side at Broadway on Interstate 44, or make that I-40, is closed, and that's because of bridge construction at the Broadway exit. Normal traffic reported on southbound 270 between Olive and I-64. Downtown on the bridge complex, westbound 255, well, let's make it 255 at the JB Bridge. There's maintenance operations going on, so watch for lane closures there. An accident reported on Manchester at Weidman. Watch for delays there. And looking downtown, it looks like traffic is in pretty good shape on the Poplar Street and the King Bridge at this hour. Traffic this hour brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Did you know that ants talk by smell? The Orkin Man knows, and he's trained to sniff out bugs and remove them. Remember, if it bugs you, bug the Orkin Man at 1-800-ORKIN-MAN. WGNU News time is 9:09. The forecast for your Tuesday, the 23rd day of May, calls for sunny skies and then a few clouds appearing later this afternoon with a chance of a shower, the high near 80. Partly cloudy with a fairly decent chance for some showers and thunderstorms developing tonight, the low in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, partly sunny with clouds developing mid-morning and then showers and thunderstorms possible, the high in the mid-80s. Currently 64 degrees here at the studios of WGNU. We'll be back to the final hour of the Tuesday edition of the Morning Wake-Up Call with Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz Brown, and she's coming up right after this.
There are infinite dynamics in business. There's the every customer is a repeat customer dynamic, or the pleased to meet you and here's how we can help you dynamic, or the old the customer is always right even when you know they're wrong dynamic. And to help you master such dynamics, there's Microsoft Dynamics, software solutions that are specially designed to improve your customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
This is Ed Asner. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Where do you go to find the information you need to know about?
I have Father Bourgeois joining us.
We heard, and, you know, coming out of the Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq about the torture involved was not isolated. It has been part of U.S. foreign policy for many years.
The award-winning Wake-Up Call, weekday morning 6 to 10 with Liz Brown.
Let's talk to Miss Mary. Good morning. Good morning, Miss Mary. Hello, Miss Mary.
Oh, good morning. Good morning, Eileen. I missed you yesterday. I'll get you. Will you be there all this week?
I think that they're going to release Liz from jury duty. I'm not sure. This is on a we're just playing this by ear. If she doesn't get assigned out on a case today, they'll probably release her this afternoon. So she should be back tomorrow, but she may not be back tomorrow. I may be here all week.
We
just planned it by ear.
Well, when I was serving, if they didn't select you in a couple of days, they let you go home by Wednesday.
Yeah, they'll probably let her go by either today or tomorrow. But maybe she'll get assigned out on another case. I don't know.
Well, anyway, I'm still going to get to you to do what I told you.
All right, I appreciate
that.
Well,
this is what I wanted to say.
Magazines.
Okay. This is what I wanted to mention. A gentleman that was speaking on some things that was happening at the Anna Malone Parade, a gentleman that said he didn't agree with you on having it the same day.
Mm-hmm.
I know I have a Caucasian friend that lives in a Soulard Market. You know how long they have been having that Mardi Gras down there. I guess less than 5 years, am I correct?
No, it's been longer than that.
10?
I'm not sure of the time period, but I know it's been more than 5.
Well, I thought it was not much more, if more. But anyway, they have so many problems down there that they don't even talk about in the news. When they are having it. I guess you're familiar with that.
I am, because when I was on the administrative judge for city court,
mm-hmm.
we had no less than probably 175 people drunk and driving, urinating in public, fighting.
And busting out the ones that even had a killing down there.
You have the same thing. Wherever you have large groups of people, that happens. But unlike a Mardi Gras, the May Day Parade is a one-day event. Perhaps it could have better planning in the community. But, you know, the brother was entitled to his opinion.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. He was entitled, but I was just trying to list some of the things, the problem, and for the percentage of people that be there compared to what the percentage of people that be at the Animal Lawn, they don't put a dent in the percentage of people with the Mardi Gras Parade. But my point is, they are trying, the people that live in that area, they have so many problems down there with it, they're trying to get it moved away from that area.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just mentioning that, and the littering, I wanted to mention that too, if I may.
Yes, ma'am.
You were speaking yesterday, I heard Martha speaking about the litter. I'm a person that hate litter myself. I hate to see a person throw a cup out of a car and throw it on the streets at night. It just does something to me to see so much litter in our streets and people are doing it. And I'm hoping that in some way, I think that comes from training from the parents. And I don't know what's going on, how these kids litter so much. And
it's not just kids. It's grown people,
too. Oh, yeah, grown-ups, too.
It's grown folks. And I think it's just, it's like so much has gone on in our community that has gone unchecked. It's like people don't think about it. It's like, I know people who live in the county. They won't litter in the county, but they'll come to the city.
Right.
And if they're coming from White Castle up on Kings Highway and Natural Bridge, they'll throw a whole bag out.
And just bottles and cans, and it's just terrible. But, you know, I'm going to tell you this and let you go. I heard the gentleman speaking to you earlier about judging, you know, guys, how they should judge women and women how they should judge men. I was dating a gentleman a few years ago, and we were in the store, and people had knocked stuff off the counter, and people were just stepping on it. And I remember going there, picking the shirts and things they had knocked on the floor and was stepping on it. He and I was walking, and I went to pick them up and put them back up on the counter. And when I put them back, picked them up, he said to me, "Why are you picking that up? Did you knock that down?" I said, "No, I didn't knock it down, but these people are stepping all on it." And I said, "And I just picking it up." We had a disagreement about that. So you can judge people by little small things they mm-hmm. do and say.
I mean, that's just instinctive. I'll go in the store. If I see something, you know, first of all, pick it up before somebody hurts themselves
right.
or whatever. And I might be the one walk back through there and forget it's there and trip over. But I understand littering, I mean, it just sends something through me.
It does me, too, and I'm always picking. Sometimes I have to stop myself from picking up litter in neighborhoods I'm not even living in. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But listen, you're a gentleman as well as myself. I knew we had a little something in common.
When is your birthday?
May the 25th.
Okay, all
well,
right.
I'm telling my age. You okay. Might know it anyway.
Oh, it's all right. I mean, it's okay. Like my
day. You have a good day, Irene.
Right. what I was going to say is my dad was a Gemini. My grandmother, God rest her soul, she was 91 when she passed a couple of years ago. She would be celebrating. She was a Gemini, too. And I'm going to go to and talk with Miss Lucille. Good morning.
Good morning, Irene.
How are you?
Fine. How are you? I want to say about these different complaints at the Annie Malone Parade.
Go ahead.
Now, Annie Malone's parade hasn't been on the third Sunday in a long time. It has been on the fourth Sunday. So they didn't never have no complaint about when what else is going to be on that Sunday, because, you know, that's a Sunday when the parade was, mm-hmm. and every church has its own service,
mm-hmm.
and we cannot cancel our service from church to go to the parade. The parade started six or some years ago. I'm a senior citizen.
The parade has been in existence for 118 years.
It's been in existence every bit 66 years I've been in this state. And it started right in that percentage where the home is. It started in a little building in another neighborhood before, when she first started. That lady was a young lady, like 38 when I knowed her.
Uh-huh.
Miss Malone.
Yeah, it's probably moved maybe about three times.
It started in a little house, and they went from there. And this is the only black parade, complete black parade that we have. You know. And it's done moved three or four times. It used to go down Page. If old people that in their 70s, 80s know, it went down Page when the American Legions and the Elves and all of them, we couldn't march. They wouldn't let us march on every street. We had to march on a black street like Martin Luther King.
Yes, ma'am.
You know when Dr. King come here?
Yes, ma'am.
We could not march on Natural Bridge. We could not go on Del Mar. We could not go on Market.
We had to go
down the black, down Martin Luther King.
And it went over Newstead?
Went over Newstead. And another thing, I belong to the American Legion, Tom Powell Post 77.
Tom Powell Post.
Back in the 48.
All right.
49,
you remember Mr. Carroll?
National Convention.
You remember Mr. Carroll?
Mr. Powell, yeah.
That's Tom Powell Post.
And I know Mr. Homer G. Phillips. You know Homer G. Phillips was a black man, started the Homer G. Phillips Hospital?
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
After I moved here from Arkansas to St. Louis. And what I'm saying about the parade, our American Legion had a national convention here in round 48. We couldn't even go in no bathroom black over on Market. You know what we did? They put them Johns, them toys, but you move on a truck out on the side of the...
On the highway, there's Johnny on the side.
So the people have a bathroom to go to. That's what we did.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't go in them places and buy nothing. If you went to a store on our market, you had to ask for it, and they bring it to the door, and they serve you soda, and you drink it outside. You couldn't go in no white places. That was for the civil rights.
Mm-hmm.
But
so
was talking about...
So, Miss Lucille, how do you feel about the parade being moved?
It's been moved a third time, and it was on Page, and then it was going down Cottage all down through that neighborhood, and seeing that was narrow streets, and when the people joined you, you couldn't have those floats going down there. You know, now we got these 18-wheel floats, different people coming in, putting donations. Now, Tom Powell Post, our Legion Post donated so much money, we had a float in the parade.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a Drummond vehicle all in the 50s and 60s, and up until 60.
But Natural Bridge is wide enough for 18-wheeler to go
down. Yeah, Natural Bridge is wide. That's why they put it over on Natural Bridge. But you know, before they fixed that bridge on Natural Bridge, you know how long that bridge stayed tore up on Natural Bridge?
Yes, ma'am.
About 5 or 6 years.
Yes, ma'am.
And when they fixed that bridge up there near Union, somewhere,
The bridge is up near on the other side of Clara, though.
Yeah, it is. But you know, the parade come all up St. Louis Avenue, and go over and over Goodfellow, and they come and get lined up all in them streets down through the neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
and to in them little Shaw streets where they come into Natural Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good scene, a good place for them to have it. Now, I don't know how they're going to do it over on Market, because I don't know what they're going to be able to go cross Market or not.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I said, the region used to have another thing. Oak Island Park was on the north side, and his ass has always had something on May Day in Oak Island Park.
Mm-hmm.
Our Legion used to go out there to those tents and have picnics on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
The Baptist churches used to go out there on Sunday and have a church thing. Instead of going in the church, they went to the park.
Mm-hmm.
So we had lots of places. We didn't have a big church where you could invite the public.
Okay.
So we had it in Oak Island Park.
All right.
And when they had some at Forest Park, you know what we did? Those that could go went to Forest Park. But Oak Island has always been a black thing. Now, I heard one man complain first Sunday. Well, Monday morning, first day. He complained he been going over in Oak Island Park fishing before he go to work. You know, he complained about that. But you know when they're going to have something in Oak Island Park, mm-hmm. and any other park,
mm-hmm.
they're going to check it out, and it's going to be
Are you meaning Fairground Park? Okay. Well, thank you, Miss Lucille. I'm going to try to get to some other callers.
Okay,
thank you for calling in here.
Yeah, you can take care.
Okay, bye-bye. Mr. Downtown St. Louis, 19th Ward.
I don't believe this, girl. You take three every time you come on radio, girl. I can phone in with you. Everybody woke up. So I was at the car wash and see on Goosehead and Kennedy.
Okay.
And Tommy Gooch, you know.
Tommy Gooch, yeah.
And he told me his brother was laying out over at the funeral home.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Brother Boone.
Oh, you know what? Somebody came into when I saw Brother Boone was here, the former police officer Boone, and somebody came in and told us that Gooch's brother had passed.
Yeah. He's the retired man out of the bush and moved to Atlanta.
Okay, so is he over at, he's at Randall's?
Yeah, around 11, I think it was 11 o'clock, you know.
Okay.
Anyway, I run by there, and I walked in, you know. Yeah, I know I left Papa. I know I've been Papa, but I still know I'm still Papa. That's Norma Code up there, you know.
Everybody know K.L. Cody.
He won't wake up. He's asleep, you know. Keep a little life in the family, you know.
Yeah.
And the Goose was telling me. Me and Papa were talking about before we went to a funeral home, how we grew up with big families. Like he grew up with the Cooley family. They
right.
They fed me just like I wanted the kids, you know.
All right.
After my mother had
Everybody in the neighborhood fed you, didn't they, Cody?
Yeah, I tell you, my mother was saying we had 20, and my cousin Chuck and Dickie and Anthony, my dad, we had 23 kids.
You know what, Cody, I'll never forget one summer when I was a little kid, the Codys and somebody got into a fight up on Clasco.
Yep.
And man. But that's when people fought with their fists.
That's right. You take your whooping on.
Go on about your business. Try to learn some moves from that whooping. So next time, try to learn and to bob and weave a little bit more.
Yeah. You know, I'm working with Jamil on a campaign, you know. I'm running a campaign over there, you know.
Yeah.
I tell you, boy, this is, she gonna win it. I mean,
I am so proud of her. She has come from such a long way, you know, and just the history. I hope people get an opportunity to look at her piece, Who is Jamila Nasheed? First of all, it's a very beautiful piece, but it tells her life story. It tells how she evolved, how she was able to grow out of juvenile delinquency, how she got into the bookstore business. And it's a phenomenal story.
It sure is.
It's a phenomenal story. And she's
Joe Palmer, he's going to win his war. He's going to probably win over there. The media's going to win. And that white boy going to win.
So those are the Cody predictions.
Those are your predictions. He's going up there, okay?
Okay.
Have a good day, baby.
All right. Take care of yourself, Cody. This is the Morning Wake Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who has been taking care of her civic duty, doing jury duty. If you want to contact us, our contact numbers are 454-0400. You can log in on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net or long distance. We know you're listening to us. You can call us at 877-920-WGNU. And just let us know what you think, how you feel, what's going on. We're just talking about so many different topics this morning, from littering to parade movements to what's wrong with our community to whose fault it is. Is it the woman's fault or is it a man's world? James Brown said it's a man's world. But guess what? You couldn't do anything without the women in your life. Isn't that great? In fact, you wouldn't even be here if you hadn't took that journey through the vessel that provided you a pathway to this life. And that's your mother. So, it's been fun. We've been rolling since early this morning. We got somebody that's calling in again to talk about the parade. And I hope they hold on, because we're right at the bottom of the hour. We're about a minute and 30 seconds probably away from the bottom of the hour. So, Tommy, I hope you hold on with us. We're going to go to a break and maybe hear a little music on the way out. But we'll be back.
Shara Dalen. Join me for Women Inspiring Women every Wednesday afternoon on AM 920 WGNU. I'll be bringing my power tools, that is, power tools for women. Each week, I'll discuss who, what, when, where, and how to make it happen in your personal and professional life. So remember, join me, Shara Dalen, every Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. as part of Women Inspiring Women on AM 920 WGNU.
AutoZone. A car is a big investment, so get to AutoZone for everything you need to protect your car and make it look great. AutoZone has the brands you want at great prices, like Black Magic Tire Web for a long-lasting extreme shine with no wiping, and Black Magic Pro Shine Protectant, now with Fade Block UV Blocker. Your choice, only $4.99. Give your car the protection it deserves. Get to AutoZone today.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Been conspiracy hunting lately? This is Decent Guy Don. Tune in every Monday through Friday, midnight till 2, for The Conspiracy Hunter.
Go, girl! What do hair, feet, wings, and a tiara all have in common?
Find out in the ladies' room every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
The Sloan Ranger. Lloyd Sloan rides again. Saddle up at WGNU.net.
The St. Louis Public Library presents Celebrate Central on Thursday, June 1st from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. This fun and festive fundraising cocktail party invites the public to mingle with notable authors, enjoy cocktails and appetizers, listen to live music, and peek behind the scenes at the Central Library. Individual tickets are available for $55, with patron tickets at $100. Proceeds benefit the library's after-school homework helper program. Find out more by calling 314-539-0359. News to you from WGNU.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences, with emphasis on political science. duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours a week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the wake-up call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
Sunshine, there's plenty of light. A new day is dawning, sunny and bright. But after I've been crying all night.
All right, I see you. I see you. I see you two-stepping. This is the Morning Wake Up Call. This is the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz, who is doing her civic duty. She is riding the wood, as we say, doing jury duty. Let's move up to the phone lines. We're all lit up here. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Irene. I called you yesterday. And I was responding to a couple of the gentlemen talking about the young people and the problems that they're having. And what I realize is that a lot of people don't want to agree with this, but a lot of the older folks encourage these young people to do wrong, or they steer them in a wrong direction. And that's something that I've noticed just from being an outside observer, watching people do wrong. And I just wanted to, you know, bring that to light. And something else about the Annie Malone parade, people knew that it was going to be changed. And what I can't understand is why there wasn't more advertising done to get more vendors down in that area so people would know where to go and what to do. I didn't hear a thing about it on the TV.
Let me tell you this. I think that most of the parade probably went through, I guess, maybe the 6th and the 7th Ward. Those are vending districts down there, and I don't know whether they made an exception for the parade or not. But the same amount of vendors that we would have, say, normally along the parade route, a lot of neighborhood people, a lot of small business vendors, I don't know whether they would have the opportunity to vend down there. And it's an economic move. You know, someone called me last night, and I was talking to one of my former colleagues from the Board of Aldermen, and they indicated, said, you know, that anybody ever talk about the economics, which Liz and I did talk about the economic aspect of the parade move to down to Market. And a lot of the small vendors wouldn't get the opportunity to participate. But I think what you're saying is so well taken. And Liz and I guess it was about a week before, mm-hmm. and she asked me how much, you know, advertisement had I seen about the move. And I said, well, not a whole lot. I mean, in the last the maybe 2 or 3 days preceding it, of course, there was an article, I think, in the local Black Weeklies. And there were maybe 2 articles in the Post, maybe, or maybe just 1. But I think you're very correct about the number of advertisements.
That's true. And then with the Mardi Gras and Sioux March, when that originally started, it would go down in 1 or 2 blocks, and it was over. And they got so much advertising from it that it's blossomed into something that's uncontrollable. So they do want to move that now because property is being destroyed. And the best place to move that to would be Market Street downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the same thing to me. It may look like a different venue, but it's the same philosophy.
I think it's different. I think it's too different because one thing, the Mardi Gras, the emphasis is totally, to me, on drinking. Okay? It's totally on drinking. The Annie Malone Day Parade, I mean, it has historical significance in the African American community. And that's to me is one of the major differences between Mardi Gras. I mean, it's matter, we want to dress up Mardi Gras all we want to. The bottom line is about drinking
okay, well,
and partying.
Point of view. okay, let's say that it is historically in the black community, how come it can't be looked at, and I'm just throwing this out, that it's now being recognized?
Oh, it is looked at. I mean, some people look at
that. It's always recognized, but it's being recognized as something that the white community also needs to participate in.
But if they had an opportunity to participate in, are they moving the Dogtown Parade? The Dogtown Parade is not being moved. I mean, there was never.
I was just throwing it out.
I understand. And don't get me wrong, I'm a little passionate about this.
Mm-hmm.
The parade has always been open to everyone. It always has been open to everyone. There's nothing that has gone up that says, you know, white folks not welcome. I mean, the parade has always been open to everyone. In fact, one year, a couple of Caucasian friends of mine attended the parade, okay?
Right.
Not in any great way. So what you're saying is, it's more important then that individuals who have not historically recognize the parade or participate in the world, we want them to have a comfort zone. So we're going to move it to an area that will give them a comfort zone.
Right.
And for me, I take some offense at that. Okay.
I feel that makes a lot of sense what you're saying. I didn't get it from that point of view.
You know, and I understand the other people's point of view. They're like, well, we can get more vendors this way. But the vendors come because there's a bunch of, I mean, the vendors and the people who want to put floats in the parade. Some of them do it for, you know, benevolent reasons, and maybe most of them do. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But people do it because they know that it's going to draw a big crowd. And therefore, then, the people who come, didn't you think you owed at least an explanation or some discussion about it? And I think that's what people really resent, because it was kind of sneaky. Not totally sneaky, because they, you know, it had to be advertised a little, but they didn't confer with any of the people who had historically supported the parade. And I think that when I talk to people, and I've talked to the full age of people, I've talked to people who live in the neighborhood, some people in the neighborhood, well, we won't have to be bothered with that confusion. And they're happy that the parade moved. But then there are the old timers who have been involved, like Miss Lucille, who called in. You know, they're like, well, why'd you move it? Of all streets, why'd you pick Market Street? You know,
right.
And Miss Lucille kind of gave some history on Market Street, and I don't know. I mean, is it possible to sometimes recognize something and it still be part of the community that it grew out of? I think it is.
Well, you're absolutely correct on that, but I was just trying to get to the other point of why can't it be on Market Street? Why can't we get this together for a whole year and get it all together like they do the VP fair, get all the vendors lined up, and we know the same
well,
time next year this is where it's going to be, and all
maybe,
our vendors
maybe,
are there.
Maybe it will be, but next year hopefully they'll have the African American Heritage Festival, because that's where I'll be.
Okay, well, you have a great day.
Okay, thanks for calling in, dear.
Bye-bye.
Dimitri.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
You want to say my whole name? Give me my J. Give me my J if you're going to say my whole name.
I'm sorry. I was thinking about Miss Brown, and I was listening to that lady. All of a sudden, you just clicked in on me.
Oh, okay. You was thinking about Miss Brown, who's down on jury duty.
No, well, I haven't called Miss Brown in probably 2 or 3 months, but I took out the time to call you at work.
Okay.
Yeah, so I just like your voice. I almost had the pleasure of meeting you. I met you. Well, I saw you. You heard me like you knew me. And it reminded me of the conversation that you and the gentleman, I think his name was Andre or something, yesterday, talking about when women try to hit on him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it reminded me so yesterday, and I wanted to get in contact with you yesterday, but it was kind of late, and I tried, but I wasn't successful.
Okay.
But, you get
well, I'm a hugger.
Hug
I'm a hugger. So, I mean, I meet people. That's what I do. And it's, brothers, is not, I'm not trying to hit on you, but I'm a
girl,
hugger.
Girl, it made me think you was trying to hit on me. Don't get a hug on me. You know, but it was all good. You know, I was at a Paquis funeral.
Okay.
And I was leaving out, and I had on a white shirt, and I was well-dressed.
Okay, oh, go ahead, brother. Go on, clean.
Huh?
You as clean as the board of hell.
You know I was. You were looking at me. But I'm going to let somebody else get on. But it's always a pleasure hearing your voice, and it's twice a pleasure talking to you. And I'm related to Wynn Pemberton.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you take care, and it was a pleasure getting here.
Okay, take care.
Okay, baby.
Bye-bye. See, I was hugging on the brother, and I wasn't trying to hit on him, but he said he looked good, so I'm going to take him at his word. Johnny, talk to us.
talk to you, huh?
Yes.
Yes. How are you this morning, Miss
Smith? I'm good. I'm good.
I know you are. I know you are. Too bad I didn't get one of those hugs when I met you. Look, I was calling about the parade. You
okay,
know,
go ahead.
I grew up in St. Louis, okay, and actually on Page and Belt. When
okay.
the Ann Malone Parade was down there on Page at the home.
Okay.
And it was totally for us, you know, for the black people. And with them moving, it's just like the redistricting.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Of the wards and everything. It's for the city when it was mainly for the blacks
mm-hmm.
to have their own, you know, day of celebration
mm-hmm.
to recognize a black leader in the city of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And with this, like I say, it's like redistricting to me.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts. It hurts
mm-hmm.
because I know a lot of people who protested against going to the parade because of the move downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying to the lady late earlier, she was saying how she, you know, remembered the parade from the 40s. Well, I would like to see it stay in the community
mm-hmm.
instead of going outside the community.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just my feedback on
it. All right.
And I just wanted to tell you good morning. And
all right. Thank you, Johnny.
Fine. All right, sweetie.
All right, you have a good day.
You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Kevin, talk to us.
Hey, how you doing, Irene?
I'm all right.
I was kind of disturbed yesterday by some of the calls you got.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It has to do with what I consider lying on young youth. And most of my uncles who are baby boomers, they consider me at 45 one of those young youth.
Okay.
Because they're 60 and 70 years old.
Uh-huh.
And you had a caller that got on us talking about how lazy people are, how lazy young black males are.
And he was talking about 40-year-olds, too.
Right. That's what I said. He was talking about me in the 40s. And I was, and I didn't find that funny.
No, I was killing.
I don't mean you found it funny. I'm talking about him. I'm really directing this to him.
Okay.
Because it's normally a lie.
Mm-hmm.
There's no statistical data to support that. The only statistical data out there is that older people go to the hospital more often, especially males. The older they get, the more they take off. And that's the same lie they use to us. You know, they sound so slave-like. You know, old lazy slaves. You know, and it's just a lie. Why would you get on TV, on the radio, and say that young black, a blanket statement, because at your job, you apparently saw or knew about a black male who didn't come to work. Now, at $30 and $40 an hour in the construction trade, and it really disturbs me. You know, like what he did was indict all younger black males. He should have been specific about Rodney or
exactly.
Kevin.
Exactly. We tried to cushion that a little bit. Kevin, we're right at 9:45.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, but I appreciate your point. I think it's very well taken, and I think several other people called in and checked it. Okay?
Oh, okay, bye.
All right, take care. We're at about 9:45. This is the Morning Wake Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. This is Irene J. Smith sitting in for Liz. I'll be back with you for our last part of the hour after this.
Minute traffic updates, tune in to AM 920 WGNU during morning and afternoon drive times, and we'll tell you where to go. From your friends
at Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Do you suffer from frequent bad headaches that disrupt your life? You may be one of the 28 million Americans who suffer from migraines. I'm Marcia Cross, and I know firsthand how debilitating migraines can be. But fortunately, I saw a doctor and got diagnosed. Now I try to avoid things that trigger migraines, but I still may get one from time to time. So I take the medicine my doctor prescribed at the first sign of migraine pain. If you suffer from frequent bad headaches, visit womenshealthresearch.org, take the headache quiz, and talk to your doctor. If you're diagnosed with migraines, know that there's hope.
He was sitting on the side of the bed, reading old love letter. Tears were slowly rolling down her cheek. He walked over and put his hand on her shoulder. She looked up and smiled and started to speak. She said,
Jim Stafford's got a brand new show, 335-8080.
See Jim Stafford's brand new show, 335-8080.
Go see Jim Stafford. Take someone you love.
This is the Reverend E.L. Sims, the pastor of the Grace Tabernacle Missionary Baptist Church, located at 2601 Marcus. If you want to hear the true, unadulterated Word of God, I invite you to join me every Saturday morning. God speaks in a mighty way, and He has a message of salvation that you can't afford to miss. So listen every Saturday morning for the Grace Tabernacle Radio Ministry at 9:30, right here on WGNU.
Hi, I'm Amy Cammy.
And I'm Anita Green.
Join us every Tuesday morning at 11 for our show, Awaken to Yourself, offering ways to improve, enhance, and enrich the quality of your life.
It's a fun show where we talk about creating the life you want. Check out our website, www.awakentoyourself.com, to see our upcoming guests and sponsors.
It's a show for you, so tune in Tuesdays at 11 on AM 920 WGNU.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Only the strong survive. That's what she said. Only the strong survive.
Oh, Jerry Butler said, only the strong survive. Woo! Hold on. I'm coming. Brother Eugene.
Hello? I'm Eugene Smith.
Good morning, Eugene.
Yeah, all right, a couple of things just briefly. First of all, the photo ID to vote, I have spoken with the Democrat. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. Come on.
Yeah, I have spoken with the Democratic Central City Chairman and the Democratic State Chairman, and it's just a ploy for the Republicans to get Jim Talent reelected. But they are on top of it, and all measures will be taken in the November election, therefore, in 2008. About Catherine Dunham,
we talked about her yesterday. Go ahead. Come on.
Yeah, I'm just going to say about Catherine Dunham, I met her. I went to a celebration, a birthday celebration, about four or five times in the last 5 years, and she was an excellent person, very talented, and she will be missed. You got to remember about Catherine Dunham as far as her. You remember the fast that she had?
When she was 82 years old.
82 years mm-hmm. old, so she was a strong...
To protest the treatment of Haitian refugees.
That's correct, mm-hmm. and she was a very strong black woman, and she going
to
be missed.
Yes, she is. She's 96 years old, Catherine Dunham. Man, what can you say?
Okay.
All right, thank you. XX Peter, talk to us.
How you doing there, sister?
I'm just so good, I can't stand myself.
I can tell by the music you're playing. You know, I'm not trying to take anything from the Annual Long Parade, but I think that accolade that it has as being the largest African-American parade was some time ago, but I know for sure that West Indian Day Parade and
they said the second. I don't know what I thought it was the second largest. I don't know about the largest.
Well, you know, in Brooklyn, New York, they got an African American parade in September, and I know that draws at least a million. And that West Indian Day Parade on Eastern Parkway in Brooklyn has between 2.5 and 3 million attendees in that parade, and that parade is one of those parades that you can come to in the morning and go home and take a bath, take a nap, eat, and come back.
And come
still
back and it's still going on.
Yeah, still going on. That there's a heck of a parade, man.
Oh,
matter of fact, I asked the guy in Brooklyn. I say, you ever heard of Annie Malone? He said, Annie who? You know, so like I said, I'm not trying to take any accolades away. But
now that, I mean, that's an awesome parade, though. You can go home, take your nap, and you know, you can have a time clock on when you think the people going to cross by this corner that you're standing on. That's got to be
something. Kind of reminds me of the parade Marcus Garvey had back at the first UNIA.
Oh,
about 5 mile long.
Yes, 5 mile long parade.
Yeah. Okay, I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you. All right. Demonstration. Talk to us. Good morning.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm okay.
Great. Ms. Smith, I was just calling this morning. I got a phone call that woke me up concerning a protest that's going to be held today.
Okay, come on and tell us about
it. Well, at the 120 South Central, the Sansone Construction Company, to protest the possible shutting down of the Windhouse
mm-hmm.
and Sons.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be, protesting at 12 o'clock on the nose if we can get all the community to come out to support us.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty. And why is there a protest?
Well, because
for people that don't know about the conflict that's been going on between Mr. London and the Sansone Company.
Absolutely. They're trying to use the eminent domain to get them to move their facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And they stand a chance of making a lot of money there once that development is complete.
Mm-hmm.
And by the development going on there, it has stopped a lot of their business flow.
Mm-hmm.
And they have an inability to put some of the bills, you know, because of the development
mm-hmm.
that needs to be noted.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's a lack of minority participation on that project.
Mm-hmm. And the project has been going on for how long now?
Well, you know, I don't know exactly, but, you know, it's been going on for at least a couple of years.
Yeah, and for those of us who grew up downtown, we know where London and Sons started out, right across from Pruitt-Igoe on Cass.
Yes.
And how it has developed over the years. And so for those of you who are interested, there's going to be a demonstration in Clayton today at 12 noon on Central, South Central. What's the address?
The address is 120 South Central. That's one block south of the Justice Center.
Okay, 120 South Central, one block south of the Justice Center. It was right there on the corner of Central and Carondelet.
That's correct.
All right.
For our foot soldier out there, Sister Susie Parker, that message was supposed to relay that to you.
All right.
Get your foot soldiers together so we can get down there and support London and Sons Wing House.
All right.
All right?
All right.
Have a great day now.
You too.
Bye-bye.
My. First time today. There's not a call on the board. We've had some lively discussion here this morning about so many different things, and we're so different, and we have different views and thoughts. And I want to thank Kevin for calling in. A number of people have called in defense of some of the statements that was made, and actually admonishing individuals that made what many would perceive to be some self-loathing statements. And again, you know, frustration impacts us so many different ways. I mean, sometimes we just get down on ourselves, down on each other. But I think what happens is, and I've sat with and talked with older African American men, and when I say older, I'm talking about individuals in their late 60s, early 70s, and they see young men, able-bodied men, not working, and we all, you know, have a tendency because we slip and we say all of them or all of them, and I think they don't mean all when they say it. I just really think that they're just so frustrated because they know what they went through, they know how hard they worked, and at least I'm hopeful that they don't think that all African-American males between the ages of 18 and 40 or whatever are just lazy, because that certainly is not the case. There are so many men who take care of their families and work two or three jobs just trying to make ends meet. So hopefully they are just you know, kind of venting and in the process of venting just says some things that they don't deeply feel. John, you just didn't want me to get up out of here without another call. Talk to us. Hello, John.
Hello?
Hello, John. Talk to us.
Yeah, I wanted to agree with Kevin on that statement that he made.
Uh-huh.
I was listening to the show yesterday, and I was really hurt by that statement that man made, the senior citizen. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people out here working, Ms. Smith.
I mean, I've seen so many brothers. I mean, I saw one gentleman. He had some shears, you know, some cutting shears, and he had a sling that you cut down weeds.
Yes,
and he was just going door to door, knocking on people's doors. He explained to them that the city has an ordinance against weeds accumulating behind your house.
Yes.
And he was offering to cut the weeds down. And we have plenty of weeds that are growing in our community. But he was saying, you know, he had, you know, a price. He said, they're going to be citing you. You know, don't get a citation. Just allow me to do it. I won't charge you much money. And whenever I think about somebody working hard, one of the things I think about is, you remember the peanut man? Are you from St. Louis?
Oh, yes, ma'am. All my life.
Oh, you remember the peanut man that started out walking?
Over in the park, yeah. Yes.
He was over in the park, but he also used to walk from downtown all the way out to Wellston.
Yes, ma'am.
Selling peanuts.
Yes.
And initially he was walking. And he was then he was just walking without anything. Then he had a cart he was pushing. Then he was on a bike. Then he got a car. Then he got a truck. Then he got a station wagon.
And
you know?
Also,
I mean,
there are so many men. I mean, and this guy, he said he was a senior citizen. I think some of these senior citizens need to come outside of their house, because at the schools now, these was black men who lost their jobs. You understand what I'm saying?
All right, dear. You hear the music coming up?
Yes, ma'am.
I've enjoyed you. I may or may not be back with you tomorrow. It depends on how Liz's jury duty goes, but I've enjoyed you. This has been the Morning Wake Up Call, the Liz Brown Show. You've had to put up with your special host. That would be me, Irene J. Smith. Have a beautiful day. Enjoy the sunshine.